Tony, and I'm speaking on Skype.
Yeah, good for you, Tony. And we're recording, so, sir, whenever you're ready, let's get this show on the road.
Batista's back, and he's gonna beat your grandpa! Ladies and gentlemen, the Honky Tonk Man's in the Hall of Fame! And at 7:20 Eastern Time, Rob Van Dam calls in to talk about his new documentary, Headstrong! Hey, Dix, it's the Shining Wizards!
Dix? The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on Rantium Radio and available on all podcast platforms and at ShiningWizards.com. Find us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Our merchandise is available at ShiningWizards.com/merch. Do your Amazon shopping with us at Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and become a patron at Patreon.com/WizardsPodcast. As always, thank you for your continued support and enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here and listen to the Shining Wizards, because everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
I have a small dick.
God damn it! Woo!
And you know it's bugging the shit out of Matt tonight after the Meat to Meat crew was last week. Now we're back to the two-man group.
I don't know. It's going to be kind of tough to beat Meat to Meat.
I see what you did there.
Ah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the two-man group, of course, bringing you all the hot wrestling action at the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Of course, I'm Tony.
And I'm Kevin, and I'm back, baby!
Baby! How's your leg, bro?
Ooh, the leg aids. It's healing up nicely.
Nice.
Got on the old antibiotics, you know, the amoxicillin, if you will.
Oh, amoxicillin. That sounds like a douche medication.
No, it's a poop medication.
Ooh, for real?
No, apparently one of the side effects is like 3 weeks after you take it, you might get the diarrhea.
Oh, okay, the diarrhea. As long as you're not bound up, like diarrhea.
No, that's the irony.
It's supposed to bind you up?
No, it's not, but I am.
You're bound up.
A little bit tight. A little tight in the intestines.
You should have had the fucking halal sandwich I had for lunch today.
Yeah, you did some work today before I got here.
Man, my kid followed me in there. God bless him.
I smelt you from River Road.
Oh, Ted DiBiase.
Why did he do it like that?
I forgot how great that sound bite
was. Ted DiBiase, Daka.
DiBiase.
That was Phil. That was Phil Raya doing the liner.
Jack, yeah. Joining me with Chubby.
Daka.
Tonight, of course, making his triumphant return to the Shining Wizards, Mr. Rob Van Dam, Mr. Whole F'n Show, Mr.
Hey, Daddy, Rob Van Dam's called into the Shining Wizards, Daddy.
Can we call him Mr. Saturday Night? That's like a comedy reference,
well,
right?
Well, it's Tuesday night.
I understand that, but...
So that would make kind of little sense to call him Mr. Saturday Night. Now, are you talking about like Saturday Night Live?
No, wasn't there a movie called Mr. Saturday Night or Mr. Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Baseball.
No.
Mr.
Just a bit outside.
Or Mr. What is it? Mr. 3000.
That was
Eddie
Bernie
Murphy,
Mac.
Right? Bernie Mac, yes.
Eddie, how'd you get those guys confused?
I don't know.
Kevin!
Listen, shut up.
I'm not the only one that mixes them up.
Well, what was Mr. Saturday Night then?
Wasn't it a comedy movie with De Niro where he wanted to be a
stand-up? You mean Pacino? Jesus, Tony. How'd you mix those two up?
Oh, it was De Niro.
I have no idea, man. I was just trying to fuck with you. I don't know. I don't know movies. I saw the first movie that I've seen in theaters in probably like 12 years yesterday.
Wait, before we get there, you're a comedian. Like, this should be like part of your... Like, you know a shit ton about wrestling.
That's right.
Yet you're sort of kind of in the wrestling business.
On the outskirts.
But you hump the stage like at least twice a week, don't you?
What?
You're the host.
The comedy stage?
Yes.
I thought you meant like the Titantron ramp. I hump that all the time.
Oh, that's kind of gross.
No, it's
the guys are always slipping coming out of wrestling.
pro.
That's how I got the cellulitis.
Jesus.
That's how I got the leg aids. No, I hit the pavement, the old comedy pavement. Like, now it's more like once a week now.
But I'm just kind of surprised that you don't know, like a great comedy movie like that.
Because I'm an idiot. Like, I don't care. I don't have the attention span for movies.
I thought it, yeah, Mr. Saturday Night is an American comedy. Oh, Billy Crystal was Mr. Saturday Night. That's why you don't know it, because Billy Crystal's not funny.
Billy Crystal had some good flicks, man.
Nice.
Fucking, goddamn, not Blazing Saddles. What's the other one?
Andre!
He wears the
Princess
Mets
Bride.
Hat. Oh, Princess Bride's a great flick, but what's the one where he wears the Mets hat?
My Giant?
No, they're on horses,
Wagons? No, not
no,
Wagons.
No, no. Oh. Like City Slickers.
Yes, the Legend of Yuli's Gold or whatever.
Bagger Vance. the legend of Bagger Vance.
Well, you were kind of right, because he was on SNL for a season or two, wasn't he?
I think he has, like, he's in the Jacket Club, where, like, you host five times. Isn't he?
Is he really?
Is he in the Five Timers Club?
I
Tom Hanks?
Well,
in the
he
old,
was part of the regular cast, wasn't he?
Probably.
No, oh. Not probably. He was.
All right. Well, then why'd you ask?
Because I don't, dude, you wouldn't know this before I would.
I would not. I don't, listen, I do comedy. I don't watch comedy.
His most famous recurring sketch was his parody of Fernando Lamas, a smarmy talk show host whose catchphrase, "You look marvelous," became
yeah.
a media sensation.
You know Fernando Lamas' son, Lorenzo Lamas, was on that show Renegade? Remember that show Renegade?
Yes, I
do. Not to be confused with the WCW Renegade.
Billy Crystal looked like he had a hair implants just over the top of his head. Like,
imagine if they brought out Renegade and it was Billy Crystal.
The weirdest looking haircut I've
ever seen.
Hulk
Hogan was bigging up the Ultimate Warrior this entire time, and then it's just Billy Crystal running around in face paint. You look marvelous.
Speaking of which, we've got a movie coming out.
We got a movie coming out?
The Hogan biopic.
Oh, I thought you meant like you and I.
Oh, hey, if you want to make a movie, I'm down.
You, me, and Matt making a movie? We should do a documentary on us.
I didn't
us.
Say anything about Matt.
Oh, that's a good point.
Well, if you want to do a documentary about yourself, you need to get a concussion.
Ooh.
Unless you want to follow in the footsteps of tonight's guest, Rob Van Dam, talking to us about his new project, Headstrong. Just came out last week. It's on the iTunes. It's on the Amazon.
I tried to download it. I kept getting a song from Trapped. Remember that song, Headstrong by Trapped?
I remember Headsprung by LL Cool J.
No, that's a good song, too.
It's a good one.
Google Trapped by Headstrong. It's not too bad. Trapped.
The problem is if I start Googling stuff, I can't play it because my web browser doesn't play
through
the butt.
Through the butt. You got to get your browser more butt access.
He needs some more hot butt action.
That's it.
Good golly, Miss Molly. Yeah, so you went to the movies.
I did.
What'd you see, Kev?
I saw. Hello.
You saw Baza?
I saw Baza. In the biopic theater, what do they call movie theaters in England?
Theaters.
Theater.
Right.
I sat on the mezzanine and I watched a movie called Fighting with My Blokey Family. So yeah, I saw Fighting with My Family.
Here's the thing I don't understand about.
Hello.
It got amazing reviews. Yeah. Now you and I, when we first heard about this movie coming out, we had zero expectations for this thing.
Correct.
But it's become like a critic's like choice. Like, it's got amazing reviews from fans, from critics. Didn't do so hot at the box office, though.
Nah. Well, I was the only person in my theater.
Well, there you go.
Theater! But it was actually perfect, because I saw it 3:40 right after work. Shot right up. Had a daddy soda at the bar.
Nice.
And I went right into the theater and watched the whole... I had the whole fucking theater to myself. It was amazing.
So, did you enjoy the movie?
I did. Not as much as... I don't get... What the hubbub about? I mean, people who are more qualified to talk about the qualities of movies probably liked it more than I did.
Well, you probably aren't as qualified to talk about wrestling as anyone.
Whoa!
Else, but, you do this every week.
Whoa, boy! More qualified to talk about wrestling than fucking The Rocket. No, that's not true at all. I don't even know where I was going with that.
I don't know. I thought you were going to say Matt, but
no. So like people like I saw like. KM is a big movie guy.
Yes.
He loved it.
Okay.
So he's a huge movie guy, so he...
You mean Impact Wrestling star KM?
That's right.
Okay. Dropping names.
That's it.
That's what Kevin does.
That's it. Very, speaking of dropping names, are you using this for your... we'll save it for your go home.
No, it's all right. Say whatever you want. Dude, I got plenty of...
Speaking of dropping names, Fala Ba signed a new deal with Impact Wrestling, so congratulations, Fala Ba.
Was Fala Ba in the movie? Then concentrate, Kevin. Concentrate. The movie. We'll
listen,
get
I'm all. Listen, I'm drinking my Colt Cabana soda. I mean, my CM Punk soda here. My Colt. Straight Edge soda.
I thought you were gonna say like Coke Cabana.
No.
See, that would have been good.
No,
you're
wouldn't
drinking
have.
A Pepsi.
It'd have been like Colt 45 Cabana.
Right, that's better.
All right.
But you're not Billy D.
All right. So anyway, the movie. I enjoyed the movie, but to me, it was just like a long episode of like Full House. It was like a long sitcom where there was like a
wait. Were Jodie Sweetin's tits in it?
No, I wish.
Well,
there were no
wasn't
tits
like
in
Fuller
this movie.
House. Nothing. No nudies.
No nudes.
No nip slips. No buttocks. No butt cheeks. No.
Some of the female wrestlers were hot though. I wish I knew who they were. I don't know if they're indie people or not, or if they're just actresses.
Oh, but they might be. Like, you don't know.
I don't know.
Oh,
I didn't stick around for the credits.
Anybody? Like any like real talent in there? Like I know The Rock, of course, has a big part in the
Zelina Vega.
Really?
She plays. I mean, I don't want to spoil. I mean, it's not really a spoiler.
Well, but she plays somebody else.
She plays AJ Lee.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which I think is common knowledge, so I don't think I'm spoiling that for anybody.
No, but I mean, she's playing a role, so who cares? I mean, it's not like you're giving away the story. And anybody, let's be honest, anybody who listens to the show knows what happens when Paige, you know, makes it to the roster anyway.
So yeah, that's why it seemed like a long, like I said, like a long episode of Full House. There was like a family disagreement. Someone runs upstairs and someone says, "I'll talk to her."
Oh,
and then they go,
"How rude!"
And then "Stay out of my life forever." "Don't worry, guys, I'll talk to her." And they run upstairs and they just have a conversation and then all's well and like Michelle hits the home run in the little league game.
You got it, dude.
See, that's what it. I mean, again, it was good. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't. I don't think it was out of this world in terms of a story perspective. But again, I kind of knew what it was going in.
How do you think people are turned off because it's a wrestling movie?
See, that's a good question. Because is this movie good enough to entice non-wrestling fans to go see it?
That's probably the problem, because isn't the money it's made about par for the course for like WWE films in general?
Well, I think it made money. I think the movie cost like $7 million to make, and I think they exceeded it.
I think I read somewhere that it was 11, but regardless, it made $8 million the first week. It's gonna make its money back, whether it's 7 or 11.
Right.
I'm just kind of surprised it's not doing better considering The Rock has been stumping for this thing for ages.
But he's not, he's in the movie and he's in it a little bit more than I thought he was going to be, but it's not a Rock vehicle. It's not.
No, I get it, but you figure somebody as big of a name as The Rock being behind this thing, it would catch a little bit more buzz than it has.
It'll probably do real well. See, I don't even know if these things exist anymore. It'll probably do real well. On demand, probably.
Yeah, I think. As a matter of fact, it will be on demand because I got an email from Vudu and it was like watch Fighting with My Family. So I'm like, ooh, Vudu. I don't even have to leave the house.
You got an email from Papa Shango?
Yes, the Vudu that you do.
What did Papa Shango have to say? Did he like the movie?
He doesn't talk.
Oh, Papa Shango. Yeah, he does. He got promos.
He made everybody in the theater throw up. I don't know if that means he likes.
Did he make them ooze from their forehead too?
Oozing, but if Razor Ramon oozes machismo.
Oh,
what does Papa Shango make you ooze?
Man, you don't remember that when he made Ultimate Warrior his head?
When the Warrior, the only time in given history that he was wearing a puffy WWE jacket during an interview.
Yeah. God, he sold more for that ooze than anyone else.
He sold more for the ooze than he did for Bobby Heenan hitting him in the face with baby oil. He actually sold for Sherry when she was like trying to seduce him into a title match with the
Dude, Macho I'm not gonna lie.
No.
Dude, Sherry was hot in that, man.
Sherry, yeah, she was very
she was seductive.
She was sophisticated hot.
If I was old enough to know what to do with it then, like Sonny was like my first, right?
Okay.
So like if I knew like if Sherry came around a little later, well actually she kind of was in WCW too, but Like Sherry and that little thing with the old seduction powers.
Sherry with Macho Man was great. Sherry with Harlem Heat was fantastic.
DiBiase was okay.
Not so much. I didn't really care for that pairing.
HBK, that was a weird pairing. You're right.
HBK, she was okay. But
HBK, she was fine. I think she was the perfect callus for the whole Marty Jannetty.
Yeah, but she was more she was more like a woman dressing like HBK, which kind of didn't like do it for me.
She was the cougar, man.
But her dressing like Queen Sherry.
Dude, I like the slutty Sherry. And HBK was Slutty Sherry.
I guess. Yeah, she was bearing a little more during that time.
Just like Elizabeth in WCW was Slutty Elizabeth.
Yeah, dude. She flipped the switch when she started working there.
Yeah.
They were teaming her up with Woman all the time.
She got in that Lex Luger shape. On that Lex Luger keto diet.
Jesus. Wow.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know. Rob Van Dam will be calling us on the hotline in a few minutes.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Ask him about his keto diet, I guess.
We're going to talk to RVD a lot.
Hey, ECW back in RVD's time, they had some nice women there, too, man.
Oh, forget about it.
Nice. We were watching over dinner. The kid and I were watching a little...
Good family meal. Good family television.
Rob Van Dam versus Tommy Dreamer from ECW. I want to say it was late 96 or early 97.
All right.
And
Beulah involved in this?
Dude, Beulah... I don't know if you ever noticed it, but she comes out with Tommy and she stands at ringside and Bob Ortiz announces her the manager's got the special announcement, like Fonzie got it before they announced Taz or whatever. And he's like the beautiful or whatever, Beulah McGill. She doesn't take her eyes off of Tommy. Like the crowd goes nuts for her. She doesn't look around. She doesn't wave. She's like completely focused on her man. That's a valet.
As she should be.
She came out, she was kind of like lifting the puppies a little bit. Hey, like, you know.
Got to give them a boost.
Yeah, a little seduction for the crowd. But
they're puppies. They're little. They can't climb tall things. You got to give them a boost.
I still want my kid to see the tag match where Beulah and Fonzie just like bled and beat the hell out of each
other.
Let
me ask you something.
What's up?
When your kid is like old enough to have like those talks with dad about hot chicks, like what are you going to show him first?
What am I going to show
like
him?
Like who? Like you could be like, kid, this chick was what it was about back then.
Oh, he knows who Francine is. He knows who Beulah really? Is. Like Alexa Bliss. Like he knows. Like yeah, dude. Here's a great story.
I'm listening.
We were watching PBS.
Of course you were.
At my grandma.
How do you go from watching Tommy Dreamer and Beulah McGillicuddy to PBS?
I'm coming around. It comes
all right.
To the circle.
Was Elmo on the show?
Big titties. That's not bad, huh?
Better than I could have done, that's for sure.
Hey, it's almost titties. What's up?
Actually, I can't even do it.
I might have to cut our next commercials as Elmo. Holy cow. So we had PBS on. And, you know, they do, like, the performances, and if you donate $50, you'll
get a tote bag.
You get a tote bag, you get a CD of whoever's performing, $100, you get tickets to their show, you know, some nonsense like that. So they had this woman group called Celtic Women, and it's, like, these four, I don't want to say they're young, but younger. They might be, like, in their early 20s.
Was it four Seamuses in kilts?
No, but there was a redhead, and she played violin. The rest of them sang, so it was kind of neat. And I'm looking at, I'm like, they're kind of cute, right? Knock it off. I'm like, no. I'm like, look how pretty they are. Like, you'd marry one of them, right? Oh, stop it. So he kind of.
I would say that to you now.
He plays coy, but he's the switch has already been flipped. He's into the girls.
No pun intended.
He doesn't like to admit it. No. Come on, dude. My kid's 10. Relax.
Hey.
Rob Van Dam's joining us in a few minutes.
That's a great lead in to Mr. Monday Night.
Yeah, the whole effing show.
That's it. This whole effing show without the whole effing tube.
Hi-yo! Jesus. Gotta go meet to meet.
You gotta sing that to Here We Go Loop-De-Loo, Here We Go Loop-De-Lie. Here we go meet to meet. Here's your meet my eye.
I was serious when I said this. We might have to do two-man group and meet to meet shirts.
I'm in.
That would be awesome. I've got the juices flowing. I just need to start creating things.
Meet to meet. That's a good tag team name too.
God bless Kamala.
Is that a Kamala reference? Meet to meet.
You didn't hear last week when we were talking?
I listened to the episode.
In the background was Push It.
Okay.
And when we stopped talking, we're like, what can we call ourselves? In the background, he goes, then they go meet to meet. And that's how we came up with it. That was the whole joke.
No,
dude.
I just thought Matt was, I honestly thought Matt was like, this is the perfect name. This describes us. We are meet to meet.
How did you miss the joke?
I think I may have turned it down when someone mentioned leg gravy.
there was leg gravy. There was, there was penis talk too. I think you tapped
out. Oh, I tapped out with the ceramic penis in the formaldehyde to keep it safe so you could insert it in your rectum at some point if you wanted to
keep it safe.
take a plaster caster of your willy, keep it in freaking pickle juice until you're ready to use it, because the electrolytes stimulate your rectum.
Correct. Ding.
I turned the episode off for like 5 minutes because of that. What are you like? I go off on tangents, but I'm like, what the fuck are you guys talking about?
Oh my here? God, it was amazing.
Rad.
Good Lord.
So I had to relieve myself when you guys were talking about the ceramic genitalia. It's like you're not an orthodontist, like taking molds of your mouth. God.
Hey, that the molds was Matt's idea. I was all just for chilling and filling.
And what, Louis's butt?
God damn, I love that shit.
What is this, ceramic or tile? What is this? Is this hard plastic? Is this vulcanized rubber?
Rubber?
I do not know what this is.
Ted DiBiase.
It's a Ted DiBiase?
It's rubber.
Did he have my dildo? I want that $1 million dildo. None of that 50 cent shit. I love this shit.
God damn.
Woo.
Rob Van Dam calling in shortly.
Maybe.
Hey, I'm not nervous, are you?
No, not even close.
Not at all. It's been a long time since we've had Rob on the show. Rob actually took part, and this goes to some of the creativity. We'll talk about it when he calls in. He was involved with our tribute to Lanny Poffo a few years ago.
Yeah.
When Randy Savage was inducted into the Hall of Fame, we had Lanny on the show, and we did an entire tribute. We had wrestlers calling in. Were they
one and the same, or were they... separate. I know we had him call in to talk about Savage being inducted, but was our whole Lanny tribute
The Lanny
later?
Tribute was a different episode.
That
yes.
was completely unrelated different. To the Hall of Fame thing.
No, we did that.
Or did that inspire us?
You know what? Now I got to do some research.
Yeah, the timeline's off in my head. I'm sure Matt, if he's listening, will text or
listening.
Even if Prince of Pro. Does Prince of Pro still listen?
I don't know. I think you scared him away with all this like penis talk.
Prince of Pro, if you're still there, hit us up.
Well, Kratzo would probably know, too.
Kratzo would know. Lisa would know.
It's like 4 in the morning over there in Germany. Where he's
Kratzo!
I got to tell you this. Speaking of Germany, holy shit, Jazzy. She's been posting some sexy pictures up there on her Facebook page.
Jazzy's, she's WWE. She's property of the E now. The E. I'm such a fucking idiot.
You're such a tool, dude.
I am a tool.
Fucking Mark.
I am a Mark.
Yeah, dude. She looking delicious.
Let me see. That's Matt's girl. Be careful.
I know. I don't want to step on any toes, but
yeah, actually, I still have heat with Jazzy for not remembering my name, and I'm the one that got in touch with her for Matt's birthday show.
I want to wish a thank you to Tony.
Yeah, she said me first.
And I want to wish a thank you to Matthew.
And the other wizard.
And the other one who's got the AIDS on his leg. He is not important for me enough to mention on this grainy video from 1999.
Oh my
Nine!
God.
Nine!
Nine?
1999! So I want to extend my gratitude to Tony.
Oh, Jesus.
And to Matt, but nobody else. Nobody else. Happy birthday, Matthew. Who's Kevin? Who is this Kevin? It's almost as bad as when the one kid made the sign and called me Brian. Am I that forgettable where not only a fan of ours doesn't know my name, but the person who was interacting with Jazzy, one of the biggest stars overseas, totally just no-sells me. And the other one, yes, he's a very nice boy.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, like, the news is coming in hot and fast here tonight.
Oh, what?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Someone else get arrested?
No. But I'm trying to stockpile some stuff so we can go through it later. But yeah, like, the wire hitting right now.
Uh-oh, you're on the wire. You're like,
Listen.
1930s news reporter.
Listen, our buddy Conrad Thompson might be losing Bruce Pritchard to the E, so we might have to step up and, you know. Bring you the hot take on a lot of things.
Listen, it doesn't matter because podcast
doesn't matter.
Podcasts are obsolete now because the Undertaker's going to have one, and everyone else might as well just die.
Oh, good God!
Because if the Undertaker's doing a podcast, no one else exists. As far as I'm, it's like if an Undertaker starts a podcast in the woods and no one's around, no one hears any other podcasts. Think about that. Who can compete with an Undertaker podcast?
Well, but I mean. Is it going to be like,
Welcome to the podcast.
Nah, I think it's going to be American Badass. Like,
I am the Undertaker. Every episode, it's going to cover two topics and be 4 hours long. It's going to be like having Scotty Riggs on the show.
Podcast.
I miss Scotty. We need to have him back on. I tell you what,
my
over
first
the summer,
guests on the Dead Man Talking podcast.
It's got to be Stone Cold.
Is Scotty Riggs.
Thanks, Mark. I mean, Taker.
Riggs in peace.
And Riggs has a connection to our guest, too.
This is so awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the Shining Wizards Hotline, he's got a new documentary out, which you haven't seen it yet. You better get on it. We're going to talk about it tonight. But let's just get to it. He's the whole effing show. He's Mr. Monday Night. He is Rob Van Dam. Rob, welcome back to the show, brother. How you been?
I have been excellent. And you know how I've been also, because you've seen the documentary, right?
Yes, we have.
Awesome, yeah. It's the strangest thing. The West Coast is usually 3 hours behind. Today, for some reason, it's 3 hours and 5 minutes behind. So just want to make you guys aware.
Global warming.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, all good. All good, man. I'm loving life. How about you guys?
We are too, my friend. We are too. We were just getting into some of the wrestling talk tonight. And something, before we start talking about the documentary, something I got to ask you about. Kevin and I were sitting here. We started talking about Sherry Martel. It led us down a rabbit hole about attractive women in wrestling, especially back in the mid to late 90s, around your time in ECW. Who were the ones that Rob Van Dam had his eye on at that time?
That I had a what?
That you had an eye on. Like, we're talking, like, we were just talking about Beulah, Dawn Marie, you know, like...
Francine.
Francine, of course. Francine was my favorite of all time. But what about Rob Van Dam? Like, who did Rob Van Dam have his eye on during the heyday of ECW?
I'm a big fan of hot girls. If a girl could play the hot girl part, you know, then she wins for me. But to be more specific... I kind of liked it when Kimona Wanalea would show her body to us. You know what I mean?
Very nice.
Absolutely cannot complain about that.
Very nice.
Have we mentioned her yet?
No, we didn't, actually.
Kimona Wanalea, yes, she had that really, tight stripper body. And that's right. And she would show it. I wonder why that is.
Oh, man. All right, so we are on the line with Rob Van Dam, of course, the documentary Headstrong. Rob, I watched it, and two things come apparent in it immediately, and I've read some of the interviews you've done. This wasn't necessarily supposed to be about concussions, correct? This was supposed to be about your foray into stand-up comedy, but I guess the timing coincided that you just had all these symptoms. Can you talk about that? Was this the plan the whole time, or did this just happen to be a coincidence?
No, you're absolutely right. Like, it was, even the first several days of the comedy tour, I thought it was still going to be about that. And I didn't think that I was going to mention that I was still feeling the effects of a match I had a few days before. I didn't really, you know, bother telling. I mean, I told my crew of like two people, but I didn't tell the fans, of course, you know, and it was crazy because I was taking photos with them and talking with them. And then I turn around to the camera sometimes and I'd say, wow, I see two of that guy and he has no idea. And I figured, you know, I'm probably not going to use any of this footage, you know, but as the tour went on and the symptoms hung out, you know, it became a much bigger part of my day and my life. And so, like a lot of documentaries, I'm told it took a life of its own, you know, and went in a total different direction. And it became such a bigger perspective of everything than I thought it would be. When I say everything, it's, you know, like the reviews say, like it's my, you get to see, kind of feel what it's like being RVD, going with me and experiencing life as me. And I'm extremely candid and very honest and open, have been for a long time. So this is a great representation of that. Originally, we put 7 days together to do this comedy tour, which I do once in a while. I'm, you know, not trying to do anything with it other than what I'm doing, you know, which is all good. But the idea was to bring the camera along and just have, you know, show behind the scenes stuff and some of the stuff on the stage and sound like a good, fun little project. I don't know. maybe it would have been on YouTube or something. But now, you know, people are liking it way more than I even expected, and people are calling it phenomenal and important and stuff like that. So every one of the reviews and feedback that I've got from everybody makes me very proud of this movie.
When did you realize that the documentary started to take a life of its own, and how did the process work switching gears? Was this something that you and your director, Joe Clark, were on board with? Was this your thing? Like, hey, man, this is kind of serious. This stuff is going on. Whose decision was it to, I guess, because to me, this is kind of two acts. The documentary is two acts. It's the comedy, and then it's the concussion. When did you realize that this is where it was going, and how did your director react to it?
Well, you know, I try to tell the story a lot like it was when it happened to me. So when you watch it, you kind of feel like it's going one way, and then it becomes, you know, something else. And I try to tell the story just the way it is. And the director, Joe Clark, he was, I think he was more for talking about it. You know, he had more of a tendency to like, I don't want to say negative things, but the drama of life and the things that he could use that would maybe bring a hero down to a level that other people could relate to. And I, you know, I'm open and honest, but also when it comes to things like talking about, you know, hey, I got whacked in the head the other day. I'm still shaking it off. That's not something, you know, that I need to be open about. It's not just personal, which personally, it's not something that I would, you know, would share with most people, because why would I? And then also as a business perspective, it's not good either to talk about it, because, you know, you might have things going on that could interfere with. And for my whole existence, at least in the industry, I've always gone with the old school mentality of, if I can work, then I'm not hurt. You know, who are you to say I'm hurt? You know, let's get in the ring. I'll show you if I'm hurt. And fact is, that's the guidelines that I use throughout my whole career. And I'm not saying it should be like that anymore, because now we're learning a lot more about long-term effects of such. And again, that's where my movie is, I don't know, is it groundbreaking?
It's up there. I mean, that's as good a word as I can think of for something like this.
I mean, I think so. Rob, something that you brought up, I know you say you don't really like to talk about it. You didn't want to put it out there because then that could necessarily take away from you know, your position or your job or what have you. And I know that at one point, excuse me, in the documentary, you actually had a conversation with Tommy Dreamer about it. And there was also the one where you were saying to some of the comics, like, oh, maybe I should go to the hospital. I think I need to go to the hospital. Ultimately, you didn't until after the tour was over. Was there something in your head where it was just Rob Van Dam saying to himself, I got this, I can make it through this? Or is at any point, was there a fear that you might get some news that maybe you didn't want to hear?
Well, you know, I was, for the most part, I was 90% just like, you know, okay, it's nothing I can't handle. You know, that's how I take on most of the problems. Can I handle it? All right, then, done. If I can't handle it, all right, then we got an issue. And there was a few points in time where I thought, you know what, I'm not sure if I can handle this myself, because I've never had the symptoms hang around that long. So for me, these were unprecedented circumstances, and I had to be, you know, I had to consider that. I had to be concerned. And I was, you know, and so you see that there, because before as you learn, I mean, I've had hundreds of concussions, but usually they go away in a few seconds, whatever the symptom is. And there's a multitude of symptoms. People don't know exactly where to draw the line on what a concussion is or isn't. But if you get, if you take a fall or something, especially your head goes through this jarring motion where your brain bounces around in your head. If you have any of your senses off, maybe you're seeing stars, or for me, I mean, I've seen slow motion, and, you know, felt like I'd just waken up, sounds been out. Like, I've had all kinds of like weird things happen. One of those is I have like double vision, or the whole room is spinning around, and I can't tell you how many times I've had that happen, but usually, you know, if I have to, I shake it off. Otherwise, it just goes away in a few seconds, and I'm able to keep on wrestling without anybody noticing the difference between that and, you know, when I just took the bump from the top rope and to the guardrail and ate shit, and I'm laying there holding my jaw, you know, and I don't think that people should know where the lines are drawn necessarily as far as from the art of wrestling. But obviously, when it comes to looking at, you know, the brain and concerns with the long-term damages, I mean, I learned a lot more than I wanted to making this movie. And when you watch it, as you've seen, you learn a lot more about me, and you know me a lot more than you ever thought you would, because I really bring you into, you know, across a lot of lines that most people wouldn't, and bring you into my life. And I'm glad that I did. You know, when I watch it around other people, I find like wow, it's kind of like emotional for me, just because it's opening up in front of everybody right here that I might not even talk that open with, because I see myself saying things. But one of those things, well, I hear myself, and I see it too. But one of the things that I say in the movie is that, okay, look, worst case scenario, let's say, you know, my brain's fucked up. All right, we'll learn from it. I'll tell people, you know, we'll educate, you know, and not really looking to wrestle that much more anyway. Looking back at that, when I take that in the movie and I I hear myself say those words, I just think like that's so off, because Chris Nowinski put this movie out called Head Games, a documentary, and it's about CTE. You know, he helped discover it and helped you know, bring it into the wrestling world, the research. But I mean, the movie that Will Smith did, that's actually a bit of a conglomerate, and Chris Nowinski did a lot of the things that Will Smith's character gets credit for, as well as the other doctor that he plays, some Wamu or something. I know his name is something crazy like that, but anyway, you know, he put this movie out, and there's a football player on there, and he looks normal walking down the hallway in the movie Head Games, and then the doctor's talking to the guy. And the doctor is like, okay, tell me what comes next. 2, 3, what's next? I has no idea. He goes, I repeat that. All right, tell me what comes next. So we say, January, February, March, what comes next? And the guy's just like flustered. He's like, give me another question. And I'm thinking like, wow, worst case scenario, your brain's dead and then you're dead.
Let me ask you this. When did we as a society, and I guess more specifically wrestling, when did we start caring about this? Because I go back, of course, with the network and all these old stuff on ECW and WWE. Like, I don't remember being worried about this when I was watching it. Now I go back and I watch some of these chair shots and I watch this stuff and I watch wrestling today sometimes and I cringe at some of the things I see. When did we as a society and wrestling and even, I guess, as a general public, start to care about this concussion? Is it the maturation of society? Is it the knowledge and the information that's becoming available? When can you pinpoint that we started caring about this issue?
I may be wrong about this, but it seems to me that everybody cared, and I'll put the pinpoint exactly right on the point that I think it was when we all learned about the Chris Benoit tragedy. You know, Chris Nowinski looked at Benoit's brain and he found that he had the CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, and it's a degenerative disease of the brain. And the results were that that Chris Benoit had a brain that had degressed to the stage of being like an old man with dementia. And then, of course, there was denials right away everywhere. I mean, nobody wanted to hear that. And there wasn't, you know, this is the first, I think, that we'd even heard of this kind of evidence in the wrestling world. I heard Vince in an interview say, if that was true, then how could he have made flights and, you know, hotel reservations, rented cars, all the stuff we have to do, you know, in the wrestling world. I think that was a very valid point. You know, and we're still learning a lot about it, but and that wasn't that long ago. What was that? 2000? I don't even know. You guys might know. 8-ish.
2000. I thought it was earlier. Maybe 2005.
Yeah, I was gonna say 2006. I don't know. Guys are probably more going to be more accurate on that than me. I just know I was gone. I know Chris Benoit said goodbye to me when I left in 2007.
Yeah, it was around the time where they were starting up ECW as the third brand, because Benoit was supposed to be at the helm of that, wasn't he?
Yeah.
It was around that time, I think. 2007, maybe?
I thought it was 2007, yes.
Yeah. Look at that. I knew something, Rob.
Yeah. So anyway, I think that the research really kicked into high gear then. And you know, once more and more information came out, and then, you know, the football players, like, again, this is his movie Head Games. It says in there though, like, out of all the football players' brains that they tested, that they suspected might have had CTE because they had a lot of concussions, you know, from their sport. They had like the number is crazy, and this isn't an exact quote, but it's something like 119 out of 120 brains or something had it, and like that was amazing. And then wrestling is high impact too, and that was hard for people to take at first, and it still is. Like he goes to, I've been with him to try to speak to people, coaches in Los Angeles. That you know, deny it because they're so old school and they don't want to see their sport made into a sissy game. And I get that. I don't want to see the art of wrestling sacrificed to a Nerf world where anybody could do it because it's soft, because it's not. It takes a very tough person to make a career as a professional wrestler, and I don't think that should change. But we definitely do need to learn a lot more about the brain, and I'm glad they did take away chair shots to the head. You know, when I think about it, I mean, I don't, if someone wants to take it to the head on an indie show, I don't really feel one way or the other about it. You know, I just, you know, unless they're really, really whacking themselves hard, then of course I'm like, yeah, that's, you know, that's going to leave a mark.
Right. <You know? clears throat> And let me ask you about the guy that's pretty much at the helm of all this research. Of course, we're on the line with Rob Van Dam. Guy needs no introduction. His movie Head Games documentary is available on iTunes.
No, Headstrong. See, I already talked about Nowinski's too many times. Mine's called Headstrong.
Yeah. But let me, because yeah. he's such
and by
a...
the way, let me make one more point before we move on.
Sure.
In WWE, I think this was 2001, like the first year I was still pretty new when I was coming in and I was on fire. I came back from a match one time and passed Vince McMahon in Gorilla, and Vince, you know, was standing there waiting for me. And he said to me, he said, look, when you take those chair shots to the head, put your hands up. And I was like, that's for the other guys, man. He said, no, listen, you put your hands up, listen to me. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't need to. I mean, this is the way that goes. He said, you listen to me. This is, I'm your father telling you, put your hands up. And I was like, yeah, that was like the only time ever that we talked on that level, you know, where he got through to me and I was like, yeah, he's serious. He's paying me. Then, you know, screw it. I already feel like I sold out by coming here. So yeah, I'll put my hands up.
And I actually kind of forgot my question. What was it? Chris Nowinski. Let me ask, do you feel like, because he's so instrumental in all this research, and of course that all happened with his in-ring injury, I believe. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Yeah.
But do you feel like this is what he was meant to do? Or do you think if that injury never happened, he'd still be in the ring? This might be a question for him, but your take on getting to know him, does he still express regret that happened and he's not able to be a sports entertainer?
I think, if I can't speak from him, just based on my impression from conversations, I think, you know, that he kind of feels bummed, like, you know, like he had fun with it, you know, it'd be nice if, but I don't think that he has, you know, resentment with life or anything. You know, he's got a beautiful life and his family started, and he's like a really, you know, happy guy, and he's successful, and he's a bit of a hero to me in that way, because I do feel like he was meant to do this, and I feel like his personal contributions to the science of medication have changed the world, and I think that's a hell of an achievement.
Rob, there was one point. I'm sorry. I just want to circle back to when you finally went to the doctor's. You know, at the end of the comedy tour, and the woman asked you,
Spoiler alert. Any
previous? Well, he talked about.
I know,
he said any previous concussions, and you said I've had hundreds. What was her reaction? Did she question you anymore? Did she shake her head? Did she say, "Are you full of shit?" Like, because I mean, you drop a bomb like that, and you just nonchalantly said it, and it's true. I've had hundreds, and she didn't seem to really question you about it. Was there any reaction that we didn't see?
No, you saw it as it was happening, and we didn't have any conversation about it outside of that.
And that's pretty crazy.
That is wild. And again, you've been making the rounds talking about this documentary, Headstrong. And you said that you weren't concerned whether or not WWE would have any sort of reaction to the film. But since that...
Actually, that's a misquote. That's actually a misquote.
Okay, clear it up for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, please do, because that's what I thought I read.
Yeah, I read that too. I read that in the Sports Illustrated story. There was two things about that. The other thing was, in the article, he has me saying that I wanted all the fans, all the wrestlers in the back to know they wouldn't survive wrestling me, right? Did you read that one?
Yeah, I did. That's weird.
But what I actually said was, you know, it was important for me that all the fans and everyone in the back too, what I said that he took the wrong way was that they wouldn't survive an RVD match. And what I meant by that was being RVD, not being in the ring with me, because the way that I take my DDTs, the way that I take those bumps, I'm really taking them. You know, someone outside of the business says, how do you take a fall and not get hurt? I just say, let me slam you. You know, and if I slam you 100 times, you might, you know, start favoring certain parts of your body. That's how I learned. But I'm taking those falls, and I think a lot of people wouldn't survive getting pushed off the top rope and you know, landing with their face, hitting the guardrail. A lot of normal people, they get bumped in the back, and they got whiplash, and they're out of work. The other comment at the end, I said that I had never even thought about WWE's reaction to this. That's not true. Of course, I have thought about that a lot, and I can't remember exactly what it was that I said, and that's been bothering me. Like, I almost want to, but not enough to actually like ask them to play the recording. But inside my mind, that's one of those things that I'm still working on. Like, I'll discover it. It'll be like at 2 a.m. I'll go, that's right. I remember what he asked me. But he asked me some question that I totally hadn't thought of. It was something about, have you thought about if WWE sees this, that their perspective on concussions will change? It was something weird like that. But I was like, no, I actually hadn't thought of that.
So, okay. So I guess the quote was taken out of context, misquoted. But as a follow-up, have you heard anything from WWE? Has anyone reached out to you about the documentary in terms of what it focuses on and that sort of thing?
No, absolutely. No, not at all. I haven't spoken to anybody. I mean, I told Paul Heyman that I was making it a long time ago when I was putting it together. Outside of that, nobody has reached out to me and nobody has talked to me about it. No. And it's been out a week now, you know, and I know there's still a lot of people that haven't seen it yet, and that's why I appreciate you guys helping me get the word out like this.
Absolutely, and I do want to switch gears to the comedy a little bit, because I don't know if you know, I've been doing stand-up comedy in the New York, New Jersey area for a long time, and I'd love to talk to you about it a little bit. I do have the Sports Illustrated article up, so I just do want to have it. They prefaced your quote by saying, Van Damme did not consider or concern himself with the possibility that WWE will not approve the documentary. And your quote, I've never even thought about that, and I won't, said Van Damme. It is what it is. We are living tomorrow's history, so it's really important to me that I get it right. I don't want anyone else giving their spin on me. It should come from me. Like Popeye said, this is my favorite part. I am what I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's part of what I said. Yeah, and then, you know, some of it's missing. And that's something that's very normal with interviews, you know, like with interviews and articles that I read about myself, I always read things that are incorrect, but I don't normally feel like I should lower myself to respond to it. You know, it's not, I mean, there hasn't been anything major like that, you know, and that's something that I'm glad that with this documentary, I'm able to respond to a lot of things. I mean, I've seen on the internet that RVD will never wrestle again. He's blind, he's blind or some shit. And, you know, and also a lot of things about that, you know, got out. Somebody took some words out of context from my divorce papers and then you know, months ago, and then put all over the internet that I'll never work for WWE again because of concussion damage. And, you know, as you learn in the movie, I don't have CTE. Thank God. And I also don't blame anybody, WWE or anybody. I mean, there's like a class action lawsuit, you know, of guys that, that do blame them. But I'm definitely not part of that. What was I getting to? What was it you said that triggered a thought that I forgot?
Oh, maybe switching gears to comedy. Was that it or no? No, what was it?
No. Oh, dude. Well, anyway, maybe this thought will come back.
Tony, do you remember what it was?
No, but I did. But if I can for a minute, I don't want to get into too much of the comedy because I really was enjoying your work, and I'd love to hear more of it. I kind of hope that you get back on the stage. I know you said you're not doing it too much anymore, but I have to ask you, was a young Rob Van Dam and a young Sabu playing Ding Dong Ditch on the streets of Battle Creek, Michigan?
I wasn't with Sabu. I definitely was with my friend Dango, who I grew up with and got trained with Sabu. He did the USWA runs with us and wrestled a little bit after that, but then really got out of wrestling. And by the way, you misquoted me already. I did not say that I'm not doing much with comedy anymore. That's exactly how it happens. I didn't say that. If you go back and listen, what I said was I'm not really looking to do anything with it. You know, I do, except for other than what I am doing with it.
Yes.
Boom.
I remember that.
How it happened, bro.
Fair enough.
But I could be doing it 4 times a week, and what I said would still be true. If people said, "Hey, how's that comedy going?" They think that I'm trying to get a sitcom or trying to, you know, get an album with it. And if I had like 4 local shows a week with it, then, you know, then I still might be like, I'm not really looking to do anything other than what I'm currently doing. You feel me?
Wait, you mentioned you're not pushing for a sitcom, but if Rob Van Dam had a sitcom, how would you envision it? How would you envision it to be?
What would it be called?
Yeah. Like...
hopefully it would be a reality show, you know, and of course I've had several projects appear that they're going to appear and then they disappear. And that's part of when you're involved with stuff, you throw a lot of lines out there, a lot of fishing lines out there. And, you know, we might get a catch here and there, but hopefully it'd be reality because I love just, you know, first off, just catching my life, what I do would, I have an interesting life. And, you know, the fact that my girlfriend is Katie Forbes,
yep,
and she's a writer also, not to mention very catchy. We do a lot of very interesting things. And the fact is, I am talking to a couple of, well, maybe 3 different locations in Las Vegas right now about doing a residency, a regular gig. And I probably will have something figured out, but I'm not in a hurry to do anything. So I have a few, you know, offers that, you know, I'm going for the best one. You know what I mean?
That Absolutely. Sounds amazing.
So forgive me for being totally ignorant on this. You are currently living in California?
I actually just moved to Las Vegas. Most people don't know that. But Katie and I moved here like a month ago or so, and we love it.
Okay, I'm trying to think of clubs out there. You got the Brad Garrett Comedy Club out there. So let me ask you this, though. You were in California. What was did you spend most of your time doing comedy in California? Was it clubs? Was it local bar shows? Was it restaurants with a back room? Like, where are you cutting your teeth in comedy?
So in California, I haven't got on stage at the Laugh Factory or there's a place in Pasadena called the Ice House, but I feel like most of the other clubs that I've been to, including the Comedy Store several times, yeah. I've done John Lovitz Improv at Universal Studios several times, but that's gone now. And the other improvs as well, like Ontario and the one on Hollywood Boulevard on Improv West, it's called. And I would also come to Vegas. And there was a guy out here, Jack Slammy, that books a lot of the comedians, and he would book me like at bars and stuff like that. And then usually for me, I just had fun with it. And so it was worth maybe a couple hour drive, but I didn't, you know, want to take bookings in Texas or something, because it's not nearly the same money as if I'm going there to wrestle or, you know, and I'm very specific about how I spend my time, because I can be, you know. So I'm not looking to wrestle a lot. I'm not looking to do comedy a lot. I'm not looking to do anything a lot. I spend most of my time at home. But sometimes Tom Garland, who's the comedy manager, he was able to put like a few shows in a row together, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 shows in a row, to where it was worth it on the business end. And then we have a road trip out of it, which I don't necessarily enjoy traveling, but of course I'm used to it. I've been doing it for 30 years.
Absolutely. And of course you got, I mean, you're not looking to do a lot more, but you do have some stuff coming up on the East Coast in April. Returning to the ring for Impact Wrestling at United We Stand, teaming with Sabu to take on Phoenix and Pentagon.
The Lucha Brothers.
The Lucha Brothers, yeah, man. Have you been keeping up with the Lucha Brothers and the current kind of scene right now?
You know what? I just put Impact Wrestling on my season pass last night on my DirecTV, so I'm going to start. I'm going to start watching the product, because yes, I do have this match coming up. And, you know, it's quite possible that there will be future appearances of RVD, you know, moving forward with that. From what I understand, the schedule may not be that bad. And that's what I'm talking about, you know. I haven't talked with Sabu in a long time. By the way, he lives in Vegas currently at the moment, too. And so I'm looking forward to that. I've wrestled Pentagon a couple times.
Right.
Coming, I actually had the match previous to the comedy tour of Headstrong with Pentagon. It was just the strangest, weird arm drag, not a really hard bump. Just my head hit the mat like it's done, you know, hundreds of times, literally so many times. I can tell you times I remember, but there's so many I don't remember. One time I went to Monkey Flip Lance Storm and he pushed me back. And I just went to do a back somersault to get to my feet. And it was just that light, like my head hitting the mat. I came up and, whoa, I saw double for a few seconds. I had to shake it off. I was starting to wonder if it was my ponytail pushing into a spot in my brain or something. But anyway, yeah. And I've wrestled Penta once since then. And I doubt very much that he even knows about this, or that he's in the movie. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny you mention it, because that bump that you took where you suffered, you know, these injuries through your comedy tour, it just seemed like so innocuous, like you had just hit the floor, and like that's the one that really, you know, shook you up, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, maybe it could be comparable to when I broke my ankle doing a baseball slide.
Exactly.
Simple move. Yeah, simple move on the, you know, compared to all these high-risk maneuvers, but then, you know, the results are the results.
You know what was great, too? There's an entire section of the documentary where you talk about going to conventions. And let me mention before I move on that Rob will be at StarCast 2 out in Vegas May 23rd through the 26th as part of that all-in weekend festival.
Double or nothing.
Double or nothing. There you go. That's right. That's all elite. See, we're on the pulse a little bit here. But, you know, you mentioned, like, it's great to see all your old friends, this and that. And the one moment that I was actually there for at the big event was when you came into the room and you had that moment with Bruno Sammartino. What did he mean to you as a young wrestling fan? Did you get to see a lot of his older stuff? Were you did you follow him more in the 80s? Because, like, me and the crowd, the first thing that went through my mind was, who does Van Damme think he is cutting this line, getting to meet Bruno while I'm sitting here waiting? But then the next thought was, this is such an awesome thing. Like, Rob Van Dam's paying respect, coming to see the living legend. This is an amazing moment. And I like that kind of moment. I like when the boys, you know, see each other after all this time, say hi, how you been? And that's one of my things that I really get into. Like, I like that photo op kind of thing. Because, like, when are you ever going to get a photo of Rob Van Dam and Bruno Sammartino together, you know? That's not something that most people think about. But, you know, something like that. Like, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I can tell you, you'll never get a photo like that, because that was Bruno Sammartino's very last public appearance.
Yep, that's why I was out there. Yeah,
and I'm so glad that I have it on my documentary, because I had so much respect for him. And you know, I don't even know if at the moment, if I heard what Bruno said, But I'm, you know, as you can clearly hear in the movie, like, he puts me over really strong. It says, you know, says, hey, says, you know, I've seen you in the ring many times. You're pretty great. Something like that.
Yes.
And so, like, I'm honored. Every time I watch that, like, I'm honored. And I'm so glad that I have that in my movie. Growing up, he was a commentator. And I understood he was a legend, but I don't think that I understood exactly what a legend was. And it wasn't until his Hall of Fame speech that I really got pulled in. I understood everyone on the East Coast, especially Boston. I understood that he was like a god to them. But when Bruno gave his speech and I really learned about his whole life, what he's been through, you know, from being, you know, the Nazis coming in and taking over his town and his mom hiding his family up in the mountains and her taking a 2-day trip down to sneak some potatoes out of the house and bring it back. And, you know, and his siblings dying off, and for him to go from there to what he became, which is incredible on its own, even if he had been spoon fed, you know, like to look at the guy, like back in the day when people looked at pro wrestling, like it was a fight. This guy he was big enough to be believable going against the big giants. And then also, you know, looking just like a monster himself against anyone, you know, that was anywhere near a normal pro wrestler size for back in the day. So, I really think, you know, he had it all, and I understand his legend. So glad to have that documented in my movie. Also Bobby Heenan, who's no longer with us.
Yeah. That was a nice moment too, seeing that.
Who does Rob Van Dam look at that's working today? Like, who's the young up and comers that you have your eye on that you think to yourself, this guy's got it or this woman's got it? Like, anybody out there that's impressed you that, you know, maybe we know about or maybe we don't quite know about yet, but we should?
I don't think so. I think you guys are probably watching, the talent more than I am, you know, since Katie's and WOW, you know, I'm watching that, you know, with half an eye closed sometimes. And you know, I think, you know, that like, there's a couple acrobats in there, Ricochet and, I'm not sure, Flip Gordon, I think. Is he the acrobat?
Flip's yes. Ring of Honor. He's definitely an aerial guy.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so anyway, I think these two guys, you know, like when I've seen them a couple of times and they've been impressed. I've seen them do stuff, you know, that I know is not easy to do. And I've seen them do stuff that I haven't seen anybody else do. And so that's really cool, especially if it's in the confines of my old school mentality, which means that I see a lot of guys doing moves that just wouldn't, you wouldn't be able to even fit that in back in the day. And that's, you know, part of how it's changed. That I can see that maybe or maybe not you can't see if you're not a wrestler. But, you know, like when I was breaking in All Japan, I had to get my shit in or else it wasn't going to get in. I couldn't tell Kawada, you know, that I need him to, okay, you pick me up. Okay, we both go up, but then we're going to both hit, you know, both knees, then we both fall, but it hurts you for some reason instead of me. I don't know. I see a lot of moves that I'm like, who did that hurt? And I don't know who did the move to who. And it's just, like I said, it's just where it's changed. For me, you know, if I was going to cover you or if I was going to do a standing moonsault and then cover you, you didn't have to know the difference. I really had to get my stuff in like that, especially on guys like Stan Hansen who not only would they not sit there for me, but he hated that I did all that stuff until I wrestled with him and he got it in. You see, one time he said to me, I got to hand it to you. I thought all that stuff you did, you know, was all ridiculous and it got away from wrestling. And he said, and what I did, he was in the corner. I gave him some shoulders and I did the back handspring I used to do and came in and kicked him. He goes, I got to tell you, you were there 1 second. And then I'm like, boom, you went up or something. He just disappeared. And, you know, that's because Dan could only see, you know, like 12 inches from his eyes.
Yes.
Nonetheless, that was a total different agenda, different art, you know, than a lot of the product here. And Japan always was, you know, but there you go. There's a couple names I can come up with.
Beautiful. And we don't want to keep it too much longer.
I just got to tell you, your Stan Hansen is amazing, by the way. I love that impression. It really made me laugh.
Real quick, we don't want to keep you too much longer. Real quick, are you impressed that a company or a wrestling promotion outside the WWE is able to sell out two major arenas with basically, just as an upstart? Of course, I'm talking about All Elite Wrestling.
I am impressed, and I wish them all the luck. I hope that they're very successful. Adding to that, in many years, we do see companies come up that look very promising. The boys get really excited about, and they'll tell me like, no, this one, they got health insurance. It's Major League Baseball money, blah, blah, blah. And it's always, I'm always great. I always vote for the optimist, I hope it works out. But they do have to prove history wrong, which I hope they do. And they have to make money in order to do that, not just spend money. Because the reason that people with big money have big money is because they're smart with it usually. And so after a while, if they're not making money, then they'll just pull the plug. And I say that because I'm hearing about, some of the guys are getting, really good deals. The fact that they sell out sounds really good too. I mean, you gotta figure WWE sells out, sometimes a 20,000 seat arena or more, and especially overseas and shit. But hopefully this will too. Yes, I'm impressed. I'm impressed that Impact can afford to bring RVD in. Even though I say that that I'm not looking to do much, that's just because I'm comfortable with life, and I'll always fight for money. So we work something out. It's not like you're going to see a lazy RVD. I always work hard. Once my fee is met, and so if I'm on board, for the future being there, then I'm definitely going to make the most of it.
Absolutely. And of course, we mentioned you're coming to the New York, New Jersey area in April. Of course, that week is huge for professional wrestling. A lot of companies, a lot of people have potential to make some money. You'll be working Impact. Any chance we'll see you on a comedy stage in New York? I saw in the documentary you worked at Dangerfield, which is kind of like a up and down club. We don't have time to get into that. But any chance we'll see you hitting the stage at any of the clubs or bars and restaurants in the city?
There's a chance. I don't have any plans of it. I actually forgot. You're the second person that mentioned that. I forgot someone brought it up. And I was like, maybe, but I don't know. There's got to be a reason. Otherwise, there's no reason. And so far, I don't know if I feel like going up there. I do have a standing invitation at Dangerfields whenever I'm around there, but I don't think people will travel from New Jersey to go there anyway, as far as the boys or anybody from the show. But there's a chance, I guess, but also I'm going to feel bad. I didn't plug this when AEW is here in Las Vegas filming in March. I think it's March 26th. I will be at the StarCast. Is that what it's called? I think
StarCast.
Yeah. We will be celebrating the RVD and Jerry Lynn 20 year reunion.
Beautiful.
So this we're there taking photos together, and I don't know what else. So I think some other stuff. I don't know. Maybe we're touching each other.
Awesome. I don't think it's going to get much better than that. You could follow Rob on Twitter at TheRealRVD. Go to his website, robvandam.com. He's got a pro wrestling tee store, prowrestlingtees.com/RVD. Rob, this has been a pleasure.
The Headstrong, man. Promote the Headstrong one last time.
Yeah, most importantly.
Well, I was going to get there. Kevin's got the cart before the horse on me. Is there anything else that you want to leave the people with before we let you go tonight, Rob?
Just everybody go to iTunes right now, because I get a bigger cut from there. Otherwise, watch it on Amazon or
just iTunes.
I had to initiate the laugh to get you guys to laugh.
No, I had it.
I don't do that on stage either. Like a lot of the other comedians have their own, it's like their strategy where they laugh, and then it makes you more comfortable to laugh with it. As you see, my dry pan cotton mouth humor, I'm very much like I am now.
Absolutely.
Check it out. Headstrong, iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, Voodoo. You.
That's, That's it. And if you do comedy coming to East Coast, look me up. I'll gladly open for you for a nominal nothing. So
cool. I can afford that any day.
There you go. All right, Rob. Thank you so much, man.
It's been a pleasure, brother. Anytime.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for liking the movie.
Absolutely.
Take care.
Rob Van Dam, baby.
Mr. Monday Night with his triumphant return to the Shining Wizards.
I wonder if his comedy fee is the same as his wrestling appearance fee.
Well, he definitely doesn't take $20 to put people through tables.
To the tables, yeah.
We learned that from the documentary.
We just basically told everyone the documentary what it was.
But you know what?
On this show.
Look, it is what it is. We got into a flow with Rob, and we were having a good time with him. And, you know, usually somebody like a Mick Foley would put us in our place going, guys, we got to sell this thing. But
Yeah.
Well, he already sold it to us, so maybe he felt like, okay, let's talk about it.
I rented it.
It was so did Matt. Yeah. It's unfortunate he wasn't here tonight.
You bought it. Look at you. You're a baller.
And I
bought it. You own it forever.
I bought it on Amazon too. Not Amazon.
iTunes.
That's what
I was about to say. You get a bigger cut, man.
I'm an idiot. No, I did buy it on iTunes.
I wouldn't even if I got a bigger cut from somewhere, I wouldn't even promote it anywhere else.
I'm going to give you a big cut in your leg and let you ooze all your
That's right.
machismo all over my
leg carpet. Gravy.
Look. Speaking of leg gravy, if you need bandages, listen to our commercial block and support
A commercial block?
Yes, Brock. Commercial.
My client.
I need a break.
Commercial Brock Lesnar.
When we get back, we have so much more to cover.
Oh, my God. We went long with RVD.
Tons to squeeze in such a short amount of time. But Kevin, as we always say,
back after this.
We here at the Shining Wizards know that you love to do online shopping, and most of you do it through Amazon. But don't go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com. Click on your country's banner. And when you shop, any money that you spend goes a little bit to support the show. It's not a whole lot, but every little bit helps. And the more you buy, the more we get supported. And the more everybody can be happy. And we can continue to bring you the best professional wrestling podcasting.
Horns up. This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at inconclusivepod or facebook.com/inconclusivebreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
We're the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and we approve this message.
Even though many of you believe that we're living in an ununified country where the main question is whether to kneel or stand, you'll never have to worry about the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Because we're up all night.
Too sweet. No, it's one sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Listen to the Jersey Wrecking Crew on the High Spot Podcast with brand new episodes every Friday on the Shining Wizards and B+ Player Radio Network.
Hey, this is Mike from The Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old-school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or The Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. We'll see you there.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Don't believe everything you hear on the podcast. Most of it is made up, not true, and I get so embarrassed, but I have no way to get back at them.
Like I said before, everyone thinks it's a big fucking joke.
I have no idea why I chose this.
And they realize when they fucking
the wizard.
A day, and
he's dead.
Pandora's box.
Is this from Two and a Half Wrestlers?
This is the one that I made for them.
As the wizard, Jesus, I'm skip. Sorry, Michael. Say, that's pretty safe. Listen, all people care. As
welcome back.
Right. What a great commercial, Brock Lesnar.
When we start making comments like, and that's when the warlord comes in and whatever else and push Nelson and whatever other stupid comments.
I can't believe we're listening to this all over again.
I can't wait. Hold on, let's hear.
Just busted.
Oh, no, I'm just busting.
All right, I got to stop it. Otherwise, we'll be listening for another 4 minutes. Good God.
Man, wow, RVD, baby.
That was pretty cool.
Love me some RVD.
Oh, brother.
That's it.
Is there anything that you want to filibuster about for a minute? I just got to run back upstairs.
You're killing
mind.
Me, Smalls.
I know I'm killing you, but I got to run upstairs for a minute.
I really have no choice. I have to filibuster.
Why? You have no notes?
I got stuff.
Do you want to try to read my notes?
I got some stuff we can talk about.
Okay, so I'll jump in. I'm not going to cover anything you already covered, but I'll be right back.
Let's see. I can read my fake-ass Action Figure Federation. I mean, obviously, the big news coming out of last night, if you want to go right into... I don't know what he wants to do. Tony's a fucking Riri. But obviously the big news is Batista is back. Lots of stuff happening with that. He will beat up your grandpa, so don't invite him to your birthday party. Or don't throw him a birthday party. Tony, I'm going to kill you because you left me with nothing here. I don't know how I feel about it. I guess I got to wait for Tony because we're going to have to go with a back and forth here on this. I mean, Honky Tonk Man's in the Hall of Fame, dicks. So a lot of Matt wasn't too happy about that. I don't know why, Matt. I guess Matt's thing was, I guess Honky Tonk Man talked a whole lot of shit about people in WWE, and all of a sudden, he's just right back in the fold. And I think it's just pretty much to get us the day after WrestleMania, Honky Tonk Man Elias segment. So they did it with Jarrett. They're going to do it with the Honky Tonk Man. So there's that. Ow. Sorry, my leg aids is still, it's not 100% healed. So last week, I'll tell the whole story about it. This is what I'll filibuster about. And, of course, as I get into the story, Tony comes back. Tony, I'm dying.
No, finish your story.
No, I wanted to let people know about how the leg aids came about. Okay. And how awful my week was last week.
You can finish it up.
Well, I didn't start it. That's the thing.
Oh, God. So I
started talking about Batista and... and then I started talking about Honky Tonk Man, but I had no one, I had no wall to bounce it off of. So it was just like, Batista's in the Raw. He'll beat up your grandpa.
Batista's in the Raw.
In the Raw. Yeah, Batista's
that
in the
sounds
Raw.
Like a...
There's the name of the show. Batista in the Raw.
Batista in the Raw. Let me jot that down. Yeah. For more with Rob Van Dam, tune in to episode Batista in the Raw. Jesus Christ.
At least it's not Batista in the buff and we had Bagwell on.
Oof.
Batista in the Rob Van Dam.
So did you start talking about Raw?
But then I wanted to get into how awful my week was last week.
How awful was your week?
It was awful, man. I had so much to do last week. I had two comedy shows, the WrestlePro Awards, the Devil's Game, and the podcast.
God, don't care.
No, keep going.
And I missed it all. And everything canceled on me because of the leg aids.
Well, the Wawa's got canceled anyway, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, for one reason or the other, they were all canceled.
So everything was fine.
But it was just an awful week. But this week's coming up, Millhouse.
Yeah, and you didn't stutter nearly as much as I did.
Went to the commercial Brock Lesnar.
Don't you hate when they misquote you in an interview? Yeah, so Rob.
So let me misquote
you. So you're not doing
you.
Comedy anymore.
Fucking fake news. Fake news, Tony. He's back. I'm afraid I got some fake news. Rob Van Dam decides he's quitting comedy. Fake news, Tony! Where's your source? PW Insider? Mike Johnson? Dave Meltzer?
Money's wrong.
No!
Fuck you,
fake
Meltzer.
News, Tony!
Motherfucker.
Tony, I heard Honky Tonk Man is not being inducted into the Hall of Fame. Fake news, Tony!
Yeehaw!
God, man.
Good lordy, lordy, lordy.
Sunny is out on bail. No, she's not. Wait, who'd you hear that from? Fake news, Tony!
God.
That's a shirt. I don't know how we never made that shirt.
That's not a bad idea.
Didn't we have that idea when we were all coming up with individual ideas?
Yeah, but that was not an idea for a shirt. That would be awesome.
I'm afraid I've got some fake news.
It's going to be better than that.
Bob Van Damme is retiring. Who'd you hear that from? Fake news, Tony!
See, I didn't have to come back. You could have did this for an hour.
Yeah, well, I didn't think of it then. I was dying. I would have got the hook at Dangerfields.
Yeah, you're like, hey.
No respect.
You're going back to Dangerfields. Yeah, they're an up and down club.
No, that place is a... It's got a weird reputation in comedy.
No, it does, and it's unfortunate because, shit, even I knew that, and I'm not on the comedy scene.
Yeah, I actually saw his 8x10 that he has up on just not as good as our 8x10 on the Wall of Fame.
But what exactly happened there? Like, was it once he died, like it just fell into?
No,
like,
it was like a graveyard of comedy. Then they got people to promote and get comics to bring people. Comedy is just as crooked.
Cromedy.
By criminy. At least I'm not commercial Brock.
My client, commercial Brock Lesnar, is going to play these commercial Brocks for you.
If you notice, he has JJs on his tights.
If you notice, it is just too sweet, and they are up all night.
Wait, I thought it was one sweet. Who'd you hear it was two sweets from?
Fake news! Tony!
Good Lord.
You also sound like the bad guy from G.I. Joe's. G.I. Joe.
Who, the Cobra Commander?
Yeah. Who is fake? Who is that? Who is Cobra Commander under that mask?
Oh, it's fake news, Tony!
Jesus Christ.
God, Cobra Commander is fake news Tony.
Holy cow. I hope you guys are enjoying this. This is fucking great.
This is... Oh, commercial Brock.
Stop it!
Oh, I don't know.
Commercial Brock?
Tony and Kevin go pee while you listen to this commercial. Wait, Brock.
You sure you want to go with Batista in the Raw? You don't want to make a commercial Brock?
Commercial Brock? It's got to have RVD's name in it, all right? God, misquote RVD.
Holy fuck.
Woo!
Good God. Almost as bad as Raven wanting to go walk his dog, huh, Kevin?
Oh, he doesn't have a dog. He has a cat. He went to go walk his cat.
Jesus. I can't even press buttons.
His cat. His cat has leg aids. 4 cases. His cat has a podcast. It's called Batista in the Paw.
What?
With Rob Van Don't.
Oh my God. What?
Rob Van Dam.
Dibbity-dibbity-doo. Holy shit, dude. Kevin on fire tonight. Ooh. With his boy Chuppy.
Hey, I'm Chuppy.
Chuppy.
Chippy McGee. Chippy my nuts.
Chuppy these balls. You're listening live on the Rant.
You had to get your Bruno Sammartino question in, didn't you?
Of course I did. You
Matt,
know what?
Matt is probably listening live like this motherfucker.
Good, and we talked about WrestlePro too. I hope he hangs himself. Fucking idiot.
I don't think we mentioned WrestlePro.
We didn't? We should mention it. Who's going to wrestle for WrestlePro on April 4th?
April 4th. They actually have like 6 shows. They're doing like a show against CZW.
Well, please do tell us.
I mean, I don't... The dates are all crazy.
We don't have tons of other new music.
No, there's
Jesus.
Plenty of shit to talk about.
I almost said other music.
Other music.
God, I suck tonight. You want to talk about Tammy real quick?
Yeah, I guess we have to.
So our girl Tammy, poor Tammy, her 6th DUI. I can't say poor Tammy
I can't anymore either, which is... It's upsetting to me.
Look,
that
we love Tammy, but goddamn, woof.
Like, I don't...
Well, let me tell you what she was doing, Kevin.
Yeah, read it, because I haven't heard this part yet.
These are my notes. She was driving the wrong way on a one-way street in Seaside Heights on Saturday at 6:30. Seaside Heights is one of our local shore towns here.
For those who are not from New Jersey, first of all, you have to be to do it anywhere, to drink and to get behind the wheel, again, whatever, say what you want. The Jersey Shore, specifically Seaside Heights, Belmar.
Oh, all of them, like
Point
LBI.
Pleasant,
like
every you have to be the biggest, or you would have to be so fucked up that you don't even realize where you are, that you're getting behind the wheel of your car down the Jersey Shore.
Yeah. Yeah, because not only are the cops out looking for everything and anything to break, what do they call us, Bennies?
Yeah.
To break our balls?
Except when we go to Atlantic City, then they call us John. That's one of my jokes.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
That's a good one. But no, Kevin's absolutely right. There is a stigma that all the people that come
from
the
North. No, it's true. It's fact. It's science. I'm telling you.
No, I'm saying it. I'm saying that's what it is.
You have to be like.
If you come from North Jersey and you go down the shore, you are a target. Absolutely. Yeah. So if you're not even on your bestest behavior, you're getting in trouble for something.
Like, this is going to sound so weird to say. I hope she was so fucked up she didn't realize where she was. Because if you are only a couple beers in and you know exactly where you are and you still try to get behind the wheel, you're going to get pulled over. So and there's no PBA card in the world that's going to help you get out of that.
I heard OJ had a PBA card.
Yeah.
The first time. And the second time he didn't have one. His luck ran out. Let me see. She ran a stop sign. She went the wrong way down a one-way street. She had an open container in the car.
See, again.
And wait.
I have no sympathy.
Driving on a suspended license. Why?
That's why I'm saying I hope she was like super fucked up.
Kevin, do you know the difference between reckless and careless driving?
In the eyes of the law?
Yeah, well, careless is like...
Is like making a turn without using your blinker or something, or switching or lanes. Like, or pulling out, if you're parked and you're pulling out into traffic.
Yeah.
Or you're just pulling out.
Reckless is
that's actually careful driving if you're pulling out.
That's what she said.
Yeah, exactly. So that's...
So
actually get high fives if you careful drive, you pull out.
A reckless driving is like when you... They pretty much add the quotation where it's like, without care or concern for like life or property.
Right. If you're running lights, if you're...
Kevin, she got charged with both. Mm. Apparently there were two police officers that stopped her. One charged with one and one charged with the other. She also had outstanding warrants in Homedale, which is another town in central Jersey.
That's the PNC Bank Art Center.
Yes, and...
Right? That's right. Yeah.
Failure to complete payments in Carbon County, Pennsylvania for her three DUIs in 2015.
Court fees be expensive.
Well, no,
she don't got her sugar daddy.
Yeah,
no
but
more.
She made a deal, and she was devil. Making payments, and then yeah. she pretty much said, "Screw it."
She probably had
not ever been picked up again, and might not have been a problem.
No, that in amongst itself is not a big deal.
No, it is because now she's got a appear.
No, I'm saying when I heard that she was arrested, I thought it was just because she had a warrant because she failed to pay the court fees.
Yeah,
I didn't realize she.
Was driving
they found out that she had a warrant because she got a DUI.
Yeah, well, she had the warrants in Homedale. She had the warrant in Pennsylvania. She's currently in custody at Monmouth County Correctional Institute.
If she just had the court fees, I mean, I don't know how Pennsylvania or other jurisdictions work.
They would have sent her back.
What they do is she would have got arrested. Again, if it wasn't for the DUI, this is what would have happened. Say she was just walking down the street, like a random stop.
Detective Kevin.
Ooh, yeah. And I said, let me just run you and make sure you're clean. If you're clean, then you're on your way. And so they would have ran her. They would have found out she had a warrant. They probably would have brought her in. Whatever council town in Pennsylvania probably would have been, would have ROR'd her from there.
Yeah.
Instead of coming, because if you don't ROR her from there, which is obviously
they gotta come get you. Yeah.
So like, if someone gets arrested in North Arlington, but they have a warrant out of Atlantic City, New Jersey, they're not a cop from Atlantic City is not driving all the way up from Atlantic City to come get you to bring it back down to Atlantic City,
unless you're wanted for something bigger than some unpaid fine.
If it's not like a it's like a traffic warrant, or if it's like the court fees, she probably would have been ROR'd and had another court date. To go do that.
But had she like raped or murdered someone, they would have sent the convoy to come get her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But
this is rough, dude. And Tammy's always been so nice to us. This is the same woman that was baking cupcakes at the whatchamacallit.
Yeah, but
I know, Kev.
And it's just tough. Listen, I'm no saint, but that's just brutal.
That's rough.
Yeah. So, I mean, I want to say good luck, and I'll always say good luck to her, but she's got to get help.
Yeah. So you mentioned Honky Tonk Man going into the Hall of Fame?
The Honky Tonk Man. The longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time.
I'm surprised Rob Van Dam hasn't been asked in the Hall of Fame yet.
He will.
Really? He better.
Of course he will.
ECW champion.
You don't think he's going to be in the Hall of Fame?
No, I do. I just hope that it's sooner rather than later. Seriously.
I understand that. And we have this is the time of year we have these conversations.
I know.
He's going to get in. It's a lock.
It's just a matter of when.
Are you that hung up that you need to see RVD in the Hall of Fame right away?
This year, yes. How great would it be?
Really?
No, I'm not really. But he's our boy. I want to see all of our guys.
Of course you want to see him get in. But, I mean, he's still wrestling. He's still working.
Yes.
And so is Kurt Angle, which I guess is another story.
I'm telling you, dude, I cringe when I watch him work, dude. I feel like he's a brittle man. I don't know. Something about the way he moves in the ring.
About the way he moves.
All right, Elias, take it easy.
Honky donkey man. And that's what I said. I'm saying that they...
I'm going to start talking like Renee Young.
Renee Young? What, she got be
job,
awful?
Yeah, she got a job with WWE. Why can't I? I just have to be as bad as her.
Interesting theory.
Makes sense, though, right?
It's like the George Costanza opposite.
Hey, look, they were looking for writers. I sent them a resume a few weeks ago, and I put, I have zero experience.
Good for you.
Got to put it out on the table.
You're Costanza.
And I've yet to hear back. I'm hopefully optimistic.
Attaboy. Cautiously optimistic?
Well, hopefully.
Are you careless and recklessly optimistic?
Depends on who's arresting me. Stupid. We talked about Fall of Boss. So you want to talk Raw?
Wait, you don't want to dive into the Honky Donkey Man?
Nah.
What are your thoughts?
I'm fine with it. Greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. Favorite person to ever get fired by Eric Bischoff.
Oh, God, his stories about him are fucking amazing.
It's great. And the best part was they were at some sort of convention or reunion together, and Eric was like, yeah, didn't even talk to me.
Oh, I wouldn't either. You know, Bischoff buries him.
Can I say one thing about Eric Bischoff without you getting upset that I'm talking about like other podcasts?
I don't care.
Well, you get mad when I do impressions.
No, you know what? I've realized that everyone does impressions of everyone, so it's all
how fair
great game.
Was Van Damme's impression
of Stan Hansen? I didn't pick up on it as much as you did.
It was amazing. You know what it is? Stan Hansen's fresh in my mind because Phil got to interview him like a month or two ago on Turnbuckle.
That was like a year ago.
No, it wasn't that long ago.
It felt like a year ago.
Well. Dadka.
Dadka.
I love Phil.
Stan Hansen interview. Dadka. Live on randamradio.com /Stan Hansen.com/Chippy/.
Just for the record, he does not have a fat wife and 9 kids.
Who? Stan Hansen? I don't know. He could have fucking 3 fat wives and 20 fat kids. I don't care.
It's true.
Good for you, Stan Hansen.
God bless and Godspeed.
That's right.
Whatever. I don't know. What else is there to say about him? Beat Ricky Steamboat after Ricky Steamboat was white hot for beating the Macho Man after their year-long feud. Went on to be, what, 16 months as Intercontinental Champion?
Something like that.
Like from February to August? Like over a span of a year and a half?
And then he lost to the Warrior at SummerSlam 88.
Yes, the big squash.
Which was supposed to go, according to everyone, to Brutus.
The fucking Barber Beefcake.
Ooh.
I still wish that Brutus would have gotten a run with the title. I wish for that.
I'm with
cool.
you a little bit on that.
Dude, all right, I don't want to be like you deserved it, but he was in that
hot
feud.
You're
going to
start a clap?
He was in, no, I'm not. I got to keep pushing. We're running out of time. I don't have time to clap, Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
I really thought the way everything was pointing was that Beefcake was going to win the title. Like, because that feud, that's the way that feud was progressing. And you know what? Everybody believed.
Wait, you're talking about a run with the world title?
Intercontinental
title. I thought you were talking about world title. No. I strongly agree with this then.
Everybody believed that Beefcake was a major player.
I agree.
Even when it was time for the Macho Man and Zeus, who did Hogan go to? He went to Beefcake.
Beefer.
When it was time for Money Inc., who did Hogan go to? Beefcake.
Beefer.
You know what I'm saying?
Beefer.
It was the match.
Beefer.
Jesus.
Beefer.
That's why he got to main event of Starrcade with Hogan.
The Grim Beefer.
The Grim Beefer. You're awful.
But I actually thought you were going to say that you thought Brutus should have had a run with the
champion,
world title.
No. He's
I'm not going to lie to you.
He's no Tito Santana.
Oh, my God.
He's no Tito. I'm telling you, bro, a heel Chico Santana would have been money.
But when you said Brutus, I didn't jump off the ship. I could have seen that kind of.
Well, apparently Brutus didn't jump off the ship either. He got hit by it.
Oh, God.
Oh, fuck.
You heard of Jet Li. That's jet ski.
Jesus. Was he fucking doing karate on the high seas? Yeah. Hiya!
Beef patty.
Yes, no. Hiya!
Oh, the Zodiac.
Asso.
Love the Zodiac.
Dong, where is my automobile?
Zodiac.
The man with no name. Fur-faced butcher.
Butcher.
The Mariner. Didn't they call him the Mariner as well?
The summer, what? The Mariner?
I thought he was like the Mariner or some shit like that.
He was like
the
mystery man in WWF.
Brother Brutai?
The running guy.
Yeah, Furface.
No, that was Battle Cat.
That was different. That was Conan.
No, Conan was Max Moon.
Who's Battle Cat?
Some guy.
Oh, Paul Diamond, I think.
I think you're right, yes.
But then Paul Diamond was also Max Moon after Conan dropped the ball.
I think
Paul Diamond was everybody.
Yes. If it was someone in a mask, you know.
So when Ultimate Warrior returned at WrestleMania 8, everyone was saying it was not the real Ultimate Warrior. It was Paul Diamond.
No, Paul Diamond was the
fake news, Tony!
Paul Diamond was the three knights that helped Shawn Michaels.
All three of them.
Yep.
He was all three of them.
Fake news!
Fake news, Tony. We got to get Paul Diamond on the. Is he still alive? Paul Diamond? He's got to be.
He was in the documentary.
No, Pat Tanaka was in the documentary. Oh,
wait. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Fuck.
Fake
Holy
news,
cow.
Tony. Fucking strikes again. You're gonna be fuck news.
Stop
Tony,
asking
soon.
Me questions, Kevin. I won't get any more correct.
Pornhub's gonna hire you as like a columnist, and they're gonna call you Fuck News Tony.
Fuck news, really?
Yep.
I kind of.
What's
like
new in fucking Tony?
fucking news.
Well, apparently you don't have to stick your penis in the vagina anymore to have babies.
Fucking
fuck news.
News,
Tony.
Well, if you stick it in the ass, that's where lawyers come from.
That's right. I'm afraid I've got some fuck news.
Fuck news.
I have to. I lowered my voice a little bit for that.
Yeah, I hope so. Somebody's in the shitter upstairs.
Uh-oh.
I don't
Beefer?
Know who it is.
Is
yes.
it Beefer?
It's Queefer.
Ah.
Queef Cake.
Brutus the Barber.
Queef Cake. No, it's his female Brunhilde Queef Cake. No.
Oh, my God. What's a name that starts with Q? There's no female name.
Yeah, Brunhilde Queef Cake.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you're going for alliteration.
Yeah, I was going for cutest the Carver Queef Cake.
Wow. Queef Cake.
It sounded, like a, it sounded like a duck.
That's what a queef sounds like.
Donald Duck. God, imagine the Queef Cake and Donald Duck as a tag team.
The promos would be outstanding.
All right, let's
talk Raw. Come on, we got to get through this.
Roman Reigns.
That's the big news.
Yeah, I said Batista was the big news. I forgot about Roman Reigns.
Jesus.
Roman Reigns.
You know, he's been gone 4 months already.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It seems longer or shorter?
It seems like he's been gone forever.
That's because Raw sucks.
So that's why they rushed him back?
No, it seems like it's been forever because Raw sucks and it takes forever to get through.
Hot take. Fuck these people who think the leukemia is a work, by the way.
Who?
No, it's been going around. We don't have to get into it. We got into it last time. But yes, the rumor mongers are rearing
All right,
ugly
here's
heads.
The thing. Is it possible that when they discovered it, they set up a timeline as to when they think it could possibly go into remission?
No,
yeah,
it's
possible.
No, I think once he got the good news, they rushed him back. Because apparently this is something that you know, like we know, he's been dealing with it.
But I'm saying is that this, depending on what he had, could be just like any other injury where it's going to take 6 weeks to heal. So maybe they decided...
I see. I don't know.
Again, I don't know. I'm no doctor, but I just know... Like, it could be like, all right, you're gonna definitely need at least this many rounds of radiation or chemo.
Yeah, well,
so that could be...
I talked to my wife about it, and she said, absolutely, somebody that's treating for leukemia can come back in 4 months.
Yeah.
She's like, absolutely.
Exactly. That's, yeah. I never thought he was going to be gone.
He looked good. I mean, he didn't look skinny like when Randy Orton was hurt when he came back and McMahon was breaking his balls about it.
Breaking balls.
He was not supposed to be involved, but McMahon, seeing that he was healthy and he was good, actually set that whole thing up to get him involved.
Where are you getting this info from?
Mike Johnson.
Fake news, Tony.
No. This is real. This is real news, Matt. He's texting me.
Real news, Matt.
I got it all from Prince of Pro. You can blame him.
Did he get back to us?
Who? I have no idea, dude.
You know why? Because I'm not on the fucking Wizards Twitter. That's why.
That's all right. I'm running on a high octane over here.
Let's do it, baby.
Dean Ambrose did not come out to celebrate with him like Seth Rollins did, and he did that strategically because he didn't want to rush into being there for him. Considering he turned on his brother in arms 4 months earlier when Roman said that he had cancer and he was leaving.
Prince of Pro does still listen. He's like, yes, I still listen, you dorks. If you didn't scare me away over the past like 5 years of me listening, then you'll never be able to get rid of me.
Great. Now we're stuck with this jack off.
No, Prince of Pro's the best.
I know. I'm saying that to get him to pop, dude. Anyway, yeah, so it looks like they're pushing for Fastlane for a reunion of the Shield because Dean Ambrose wound up getting beat up by Claymore, Elias,
Flanagan.
Bobby Lashley, Baron Corbin, and the rest of the Shield came out to save him, but they didn't stay to help him up.
Yeah, they didn't really save him as much as they beat up the other
jerks.
Well, because they, I mean, didn't he say something last week? Like, how come you guys didn't save me from Claymore last week?
Well, he's like, where were you out there? And they, like, they're playing some gimmick. Like, he really is like a psycho idiot where he doesn't realize that he turned heel on Seth Rollins. I kind of like it.
I do kind of like it. But he's very funny on the mic, too.
It's what it is they're playing the game of how many people can we have Dean Ambrose put over before he leaves. So
unless maybe with Roman coming back, he maybe might change his
mind. He's not staying.
You never know.
Sometimes you know.
Hey, Vince has been throwing money at everybody lately, so
it's possible. You never really know, but I don't think he's staying. I think it's he'll probably do a fall to whoever Fastlane.
Crowd sighting. Did you happen to notice one of the fellas that Roman Reigns high-fived on his way out?
Rock's mom.
Oh, okay. Did you happen to notice the other person he high-fived on the way out?
Vlad?
David Arquette was front
row. I did see that. Yeah.
How cool was that? Maybe a little something with David Arquette for WrestleMania?
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
Hey, former WCW World Champion.
God, I'm going to throw...
Kevin?
I'm going to make sure I have all the Pepsi drank out of this, and I'm going to throw this can at your
DX
face.
DX with Honky Tonk Man and David Arquette on the undercard. At Hall of Fame.
All right. In the Hall of Fame, I could see.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Maybe we get a little Maria Menounos action.
Is she in the Hall of Fame?
No. Maybe she does... I don't think so.
Maria Mamumos?
No, definitely not.
Oh. Air another commercial, Brock. So we could do some research.
Hello.
I'm not sure.
What else happened on Raw? What are we forgetting? Oh, Moment of Bliss, the little flirting with Finn Balor. I kind of like it. And then maybe we're not going to get interrupted this week. And then Leah Rush comes out and she throws her paperwork in the air. How great was that?
I'm actually starting to like Leah Rush.
Yeah, Leo Rush, I'm telling you, man, he can go in the ring. I'm glad they're finally giving him a chance to show it. I still don't understand why he's still back with Lashley after Lashley beat the shit out of him when they lost the belt.
But. Listen, sometimes you just got to get a receipt for fucking up.
Nia Jax wrestled Bayley, singles competition. They have a title match.
At Fastlane, right?
Yeah. What do we call them? The big old bitches?
No, what do we call them?
I thought it was the Bobs, the big old bitches.
Yeah, the big old bitches.
We're the
shout out to my big old bitches.
Big booty hoes.
Big booty hoes everywhere. Big booty hoes in their underwear.
Did you like that meme I sent to Matt with Rikishi's ass and it said nine?
Dude, you're so mean.
Hey, I don't make them up. I find them and they make me laugh.
Listen, you're the distributor. Them. You're just as bad. You're just as guilty.
Listen, I cannot be blamed for the content in which I provide.
Big booty bitches.
Dude, what else happened on Raw? I feel like we're missing out on so much
the
more.
The Batista?
Before we get to that, yeah. Dash and Dawson lost to Aleister Black and Ricochet.
Yeah, that's silly.
It's kind of dumb. They made them lose 2 weeks. Maybe they're on their way out too.
I don't know, but it's silly.
Rumor is they're thinking about a four-way for the titles where it was going to be Ricochet and Aleister Black, Ciampa and Gargano, your boys Rude and what's his fucking nuts?
Glory and Gable?
Yes, Glory Hole Gable. Hmm. And the champs.
Hmm.
I can't think of their name.
The Revival.
The Revival, fucking A.
I don't like it.
Unfortunately, Hawkins...
I don't like this... random hodgepodge of NXT guys teaming just because they're NXT guys.
Yeah, I don't like it. Ruins their whole story. Like, aren't they supposed to be like Tommaso Ciampa and Gargano?
Well, no, they're kind of on the same page, so I can deal with that one.
Here's something you can find on your Twitter machine.
Uh-oh.
Undertaker, during the whole Muhammad Hassan thing back in 2005, There was a lawyer that came out and read a statement on SmackDown on Muhammad Hassan's behalf. It's a very young Tommaso Ciampa.
Oh, yeah.
How crazy is that? I had no idea.
Ciampa had some matches on Velocity and Sunday Night Heat and shit.
He's all dressed up, and he took a chokeslam, and he was like, I am not a wrestler, I'm a lawyer, and Undertaker goozled him and fucking chokeslammed him and shit.
Wham-boozled him.
Yeah, it was great. It
and now he
great.
Has a podcast.
Who does? Undertaker.
Yep.
Of course he does. Why would he not, Kevin?
I don't know.
Braun Strowman beat up...
Lawn Moman.
He beat up Lashley and Leo Rush? Was that right?
Yes.
And then he just walked away.
It was supposed to be a match. I don't think it ever actually became a match.
It didn't. They played his music and they were like, and that's it. So.
Yeah.
What else happened on Raw, dude? There was so much.
That doesn't matter.
No, it kind of does. I want to make sure we cover everything. I kind of want to make
Jinder
sure.
Jinder Mahal comes out.
Oh, fucking, yeah.
And complains about how he's not invited to the party. And then Kurt Angle.
Yeah. Riot Squad, Natalya Ronda Rousey. That was a pretty big deal.
Oh, yeah. The putting down the championship.
All right, look, we've said it a million times. When Rousey's acting tough, She's actually good. When she's doing this crybaby shit, she's awful.
You didn't like her last night?
I loved it once she started getting tough. When she was like, when she pretty much told Stephanie to go fuck herself and left the belt at her feet, that was awesome.
I like that too.
When she's on the apron and she's crying for Natalya to tag her and jumping around like an idiot, that's bad.
Do you think she accidentally, I don't know if you noticed this, I don't know if she intentionally did this, but she kind of like hinted that the main event's going to be a triple threat.
No, I thought they did. Or she said, make it a triple threat.
I don't know. I mean, unless I'm wrong. Because I know you guys said last week on the show that all signs are pointing to it being a triple threat match. And I didn't think that at the time.
That's been the plan for a while. But maybe that was Ronda's way of like, okay, fine. If you're not going to give me her in a match and you're dead set on Charlotte, let's make it a triple threat.
Okay.
That could be the reasoning.
Because I'm like, wow, did she just... Because I'm still thinking it's one-on-one Becky, Ronda.
But then, like, Stephanie gave her shit, and then Ronda,
and then Ronda just mentioned, like, you're throwing away the biggest main event, Ronda, yep. Becky, Charlotte. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Because in my head, I'm still thinking that I want just Becky, Ronda one-on-one.
Yeah.
So.
What'd you think of Bayley and Nia?
The match?
Yeah.
I didn't really pay attention to it.
I tried to pay attention. It was fine. When Sasha started getting involved, that was Nia's downfall because Nia went after Sasha and Bayley like took advantage of it.
Because it's going to be the same thing. What these women's tag titles do, and don't get me wrong, it's awesome. I'm super happy they're there because they're going to be defended on SmackDown, Raw, NXT, maybe NXT UK, who knows. But now we're just going to get the same types of matches where it's one person from one team versus the other person from the other team before the pay-per-view.
Oh, but that's always the way it's been.
I know, but now we're getting more of it because now there's women's tag team titles.
I just still hate that they're ignoring history, but that's just my thing. Okay. It was Ric Flair's...
Okay!
Ric Flair's 70th birthday. Now...
That was a terrible little joke.
This was... I know it was. That's why I'm ignoring it.
Yep, thanks.
This was the 70th birthday of Ric Flair.
Correct.
It was supposed to be a big celebration.
To the day.
They brought back Sting.
Sting!
They brought back Ricky Steamboat.
I was surprised to see Sting. Did not
Sting
see that coming.
Sting was a big one. Is Steamboat still an agent with them or not really? I don't know. I really don't know.
I know who's not an agent with them anymore.
Oh, fuck. Arn Anderson got let go.
That's right.
We almost glossed over that.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That happened after your show last week. We could talk about that.
Apparently, he had a falling out with Vince, but I've also read that they haven't really gotten along at all. Like, they always butt heads.
Oh, and we didn't even talk about this. I mean, I don't know if you have that on your news and notesies. Bruce Pritchard.
Okay, well, I was getting to that. I mentioned his name, but yeah.
All right.
But, shit, what the fuck were we talking about?
Bayley, Nia, Ronda, Arn Anderson.
Arn Anderson, yes. Yeah. And you're the one that brought it up and you forgot.
Yep. So I'm not I remembered. It just took me a little roadmap to get there.
We're all forgetful tonight.
That's it.
I think we're getting some of the good stuff through osmosis in the microphones here from RVD.
I'm in.
You're all in.
I'm all in. I'm double or nothing.
Okay, yeah. So apparently they've been butting heads for a long time. And Arn Anderson was John Cena's agent.
What do you mean?
Supposedly Arn Anderson was the guy that would book John Cena with all his stuff.
Wait, Arn Anderson was his actual, like, agent?
No, not agent, like, Mark, super agent. What's his name?
Boris?
Mark Kruskal? The guy that books all the guys for Ring of Honor?
Super agent Mark?
Yes.
That's what we just call him. That's our nickname for him.
That's what I said, and then you looked at me like I had
three minutes. I thought you were talking about, like, Scott Boris from, like, sports.
No. So he's not... He's like the road agent. He's the guy that books the matches, puts them together, comes up with
finishes.
Okay,
the producer.
Yeah, well, agent. Come on, he's Arn Anderson. He's an agent. He's not a producer. Anyway... it's a subtle distinction. I'll explain it to you after the show.
Thanks, man. I don't fucking know the difference.
Fake news!
Fucking fake news. Fucking idiot. Stupid idiot.
Can I talk about Arn Anderson?
Well, hopefully. You've been trying for an hour.
I fucking hate you. Such a dick. Oh, I broke the bell. Hope you're happy. I hope it was worth it. You schmuck. So Arn Anderson, fire, bang, bang, go home. Bruce Pritchard got rehired this week. Apparently, he's Vince's right-hand man. Like, he got boosted all the way back up the ladder.
I don't get this. I don't get it.
Vince is panicking because although the company's making money, nobody's watching the product anymore.
But they're bringing in, again, this is strictly from the outside looking in. Look at all the new producers they hired. Hurricane, Daivari, Sanjay, Abyss, Jarrett, you still have Kidman there. You still have Road Dogg there. You let go of Arn Anderson. So it's almost kind of, it's like a,
out with the old, in with the new type thing. And then you go ahead and you bring back a guy who is so traditional when it comes to wrestling.
Maybe that's what Vince is looking for. Maybe Vince is looking for something. Because look, let's
But he's going back to the well. It's so like, it's so Zodiac. It's so yin and yang.
Let's be honest, though. Like, if you listen to Bruce Pritchard's show, a lot of people say he's full of shit with some of the stuff he says, but he knows Vince McMahon. He can read Vince McMahon. He knows how to deal with Vince McMahon. And maybe that's what they're looking for. Maybe they want to bring somebody back that knows how to work him and can actually
But wait, but he's the one that hired him.
Because maybe he needs an idea guy that's going to go along with half of the shit that he's coming up with.
Oh,
and,
so
and filter it as well. How many times have you heard Bruce talking about stuff going like, look, some things you can like, you know, die on your mountain for, and other things you just got to let go.
See, you know? I don't think going back to the well is necessarily an answer, especially when you already kind of seem like you're moving forward by hiring all these new guys.
But maybe
promoting Steve Corino from NXT to the creative team on the main roster.
But maybe Bruce will be better in terms of storyline concepts, like, you know, ideas like that.
Maybe if he could be like, not like a filtration system, but like a guy to keep Vince honest. I'm like, no, we can't do this week because we did this last week. It won't make any sense.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. I don't know, but it just seems like I love Bruce.
Yeah, I'm excited for him being back.
Me too.
I think he had his hand in quite a bit of the show the way it was booked, actually.
Really?
I think so. I think Lio Rush getting a title shot, I think that's got Bruce written all over it.
I don't. Really?
I do.
I mean, it makes sense for the storyline because he was the one that got pinned for the in the handicap
dude,
match.
Dude, the booking at the end with Batista returning. Right,
let's get right into that.
Yeah. So they put on this whole celebration. They have everybody up on the ramp. They bring out all of Rick's greatest opponents and friends and whatnot. And they got a cake and they got the replica belt and everything. And they announce Ric Flair and Rick doesn't come out. And everybody's like, what's going on? Even wonky eye Shawn Michaels was there. Mm. And they go to the back and some bald Smurf guy grabbing a cameraman, dragging him to the dressing room, which is kind of weird. I mean, if they're announcing Ric Flair, don't you think he would have been in Gorilla at that point? You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody's getting Ric Flair to come to the ring for his celebration on time.
Yeah, that's right.
But that's a small point.
Yeah.
So Batista literally drags him, like, closes his door of his dressing room. A couple of things fall, make noise, and he drags him out by his coat. And he's like, do I have your attention now, Hunter?
I don't get it.
Do I?
I don't.
Well, because remember, like, they were supposed to be building to Batista versus Hunter at Mania.
Right.
Like, that was originally in the deal.
But Triple H is such a natural heel now.
Yeah, but Batista always likes being a heel, too. Batista doesn't like being a babyface.
But he was getting the babyface reactions. Like, when he came back for SmackDown, whatever it was, he was getting the babyface reaction.
Well, he also did when he quit after WrestleMania WrestleMania 30 was
it? Whenever Daniel Bryan.
That was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Has he been? Yeah, he made an appearance with Evolution for Raw.
SmackDown 1000. SmackDown 1000. Or whatever it was.
Yeah. And he was teasing some dissension with Triple H even at that point.
But as the babyface.
Yeah, but you know what, dude? I kind of liked it. I liked it. Badass Batista, I liked it a lot.
I'm still out on it. I'm still weird about it.
It was a cool ending.
It was cool because I didn't expect
it. Yeah, that was the great part because everybody in that arena was there because they were expecting Ric Flair's 70th birthday.
And I thought,
and what did we get? We got Ric Flair going to the hospital and Jinder Mahal eating cake.
That's right. He sold so huge for the cake. I think he thought that. Did you watch the?
Yeah,
after the
Kurt Angle just kind of flipped the cake on.
And I think Jinder Mahal thought it was the whole table, so he sold it like it was the whole table, but it was just the cake. Now he sold so huge for that cake.
It was so awesome.
But I think we were all expecting a Becky Lynch moment. Not
yeah, but Becky Lynch already shot her moment, and she was already going off to jail.
And I think that's what everyone when that happened, I was like, oh, she's definitely coming back.
Can't like, she went to jail, dude.
So did Goldberg. So did Austin in segments. So I'm thinking like, all right, this is typical. This is Becky coming back to ruin the celebration.
Was Becky yelling at the cops, don't hurt my hand. I have to use it to hold the belt up at WrestleMania.
She's so good.
She's the best.
But
she is the best. And you know, I didn't realize it. Years ago, coming up through Shimmer, she was teamed up with Paige and Paige's mom. Like, they were like a threesome together.
Paige's mom has got it going on.
Speaking of going on, do we have anything else we want to cover before we start going home?
Oh, crap.
Well, do you not have a going home?
I didn't pick a new going home.
Oh, I got a going home. You want me to talk about my going home?
Sure.
Actually, I could skip that. Being the elite this week, because Tony is on the pulse of everything that is wrestling.
That's right.
Guess I can't say it's from Japan, but work with me, people. The Young Bucks got retribution for being attacked at AAW show in Chicago by the Lucha Brothers by getting revenge on said Lucha Brothers. Oh, God. I don't remember what this acronym is. Holy shit.
What?
Anyway.
What is it?
D-O-N? Double or nothing. Yes.
Oh, my
okay.
God.
Oh, my God. I'm terrible.
Nah, at least you have a going home.
Bad news. So they actually confirmed that there's going to be a Young Bucks versus Lucha Brothers match at Double or Nothing coming up on May 25th from the Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's All Elite Wrestling, Kevin.
Oh, I got to go home.
Oh, do you?
Some updates on the old... no, damn it, that's the wrong headline. Hold on, please.
Hey, you want to hear how Colin Kaepernick is trying to get a job with the XFL?
Sure.
Yeah, he's trying to get a job with the XFL. He wants 20
Great
million.
Update.
He wants 20 million, but the XFL is only paying quarterbacks 250,000. And the funny thing is,
he wanted 20 million from the AAF too.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is, the AAF pays their quarterbacks even less. So, whoops.
You know who made his return to WWE tonight? This is my going home.
Ooh. Ooh.
Oh yeah.
Paul Bearer.
He's the wrestling president. He's the Shining Wizards president.
Woken Matt came back?
Broken Matt came back on SmackDown, returned to WWE TV tonight to team with Jeff Hardy.
Well, he's not the Shining Wizards president. He's the president of wrestling.
This is according to the guy who I defend when he's wrong.
Mike Johnson.
The word backstage is that WWE has involved a clause in Matt and Jeff Hardy's existing WWE deal, rolling it over for a third year.
That's awesome.
Had WWE not rolled over the contract, it would have expired next month. Matt Hardy has been teasing a countdown until his expiration of his deal, but it would appear that simply Hardy's latest attempt to get buzz. Matt Hardy took some time off to get healthy. Looks like the Hardys are gonna be around for a little bit.
Wow, your reading is awful.
No, because I didn't want to read the whole goddamn article verbatim.
Like you read the Sports Illustrated article back to Rob?
Well, I wanted to make sure we had it clear, you jerk. God, you're like, oh,
Kevin, I love you.
It's 8:56.
I know. We're going to start wrapping up. Please tell me you have some plugs of your own this week.
I had them last week. What do I got? I definitely have stuff.
You said you're going back to...
That's not for me, though. I'll be hanging... That's tomorrow night at Hawkins and Ryder's gimmick.
Against
and Sam Roberts.
Sam Roberts.
Yeah, so I'll be there hanging
all
out with...
All friends... Well, two friends of the show.
Here's going home. All three... Well, yeah, two.
Well, there you go.
Happy birthday to the Stallion.
Oh, shit. The Stallion turning 75 today.
That's it. We're going to send Batista over to his house.
And he's going to drag him out.
Yeah. I'm going to the Carolinas.
Yeah,
for,
he's going to do it in front of Pat Buck. And Pat Buck's going to go, who gives a shit?
God. going to check that out with at Carolines and Broadway.
Yes.
So
maybe that's it? No upcoming comedies? No. Hey, are the Dumbfellas coming back?
Yes.
When?
If not this Monday, next Monday, we'll be recording, and then we'll be back on the following Thursday.
I hope so.
No, we are. We're
I missed
back.
The show, man. It's been
we're,
a while.
Actually, we're going down to South Jersey for a show, the five of us.
Ooh, you should record the road trip and all travel together.
That's what we're going to do.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
Have to take Joe's car. And then what else we have?
I don't need the particulars. Yeah, we need to bring a Walkman. And
March 20th, Irish fundraiser at the Shillelagh Club.
What does that mean?
That's a... It's a comedy fundraiser. It's me, Joe, Rich, Jackie Byrne. That's March 20th. March 9th, I'll be at the WrestlePro show doing comedy there for the audience of Rawway. So there's that March 9th. So get tickets for that.
That's the Wawa's.
Yeah.
No? Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
The postponed Wawa's.
Please head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/shiningwizards. Buy yourself a t-shirt, including the KJG shirt. Oh, the SWK shirt. Holy shit. I fucked that up every week. This is a bad night. That's
I didn't even catch it.
Now.
I didn't even catch it.
No, whatever. Please, you already caught enough of your fucking AIDS leg. You
That's
don't
right.
need to catch anything else.
It's not contagious, man.
I don't care. It's still freaky.
Looks great. No.
Yeah. All right. Whatever. Big thanks to Rob Van Dam for joining us once again. here on the Shining Wizards. Please stay tuned on The Rant. If you're listening live, The Rant is up next on The Rant.
Shout out to John Schnabel, who I know is listening live. Friend of mine who is a big fan of the Shining Wizards. Now.
Patrons!
Oh, patrons!
Fuck! Holy shit, we forgot the patrons.
They're like the evil Voltrons.
Oh my god, I would have killed myself if I didn't.
Shanto, Sidney Ardone, Kratzo, the authors of Pain.
Dan and Anthony Rusinello, Kathy Hummer.
Authors of Pain.
Croc DeVille, we mentioned.
Yeah,
Sean Coelho, Shanto, Sidney Ardone.
I said.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Who are we missing? Oh, Mike Martinelli?
Sure.
No. Was it? No.
Mike Marinello?
Oh, I have to log in. My computer, come on. Please don't go off the rant yet. Please don't go off the rant yet.
Yeah,
please don't go off the rant yet.
They're not going to start. They don't cut us off.
No, they do. They do.
What?
No, they don't. Oh, my God. I can't believe we forgot the patrons. We had so
I was thinking about that when I was taking a
leak. No, you weren't.
I was when I was peeing.
Kevin's lying. Nope. Fake news, Kevin.
Nope, that's true. I don't lie.
Kevin was pissing.
That's not true. I do lie.
I wonder what Kratzo was up to.
Well, because I was wondering if you were going to come back in time for the commercial, Brock.
This is what pisses me off now. I'm trying to log into Patreon, and it has to verify my laptop as if I don't do 5,000 things with Patreon.
That's all right. We'll send him a shout-out on the old
Twitter. No. We got it.
I think we named them all.
No, well, maybe, but I just want to make sure. I want to make sure we got everybody.
Want me to filibuster again?
Filibuster. Tell us about
Honky Tonk Man's gonna get to the Hall of Fame. Batista's back, and he's gonna beat your grandpa.
That's good. Stay with that.
All right.
Stay with that.
Well, thanks. You just ruined my mojo.
No, keep going. Hey, la.
Batista's back. And he's going to kill your
okay,
grandma.
Yes, we're here.
Before he dies.
Anthony Rusinello, Sidney Ardone, Dan Rusinello. Who's Dark Helmet? What the hell's his name? Oh, Ryan Arthur. That was the other guy we forgot. Kathy Hummer, Manny Kratzo, Mike Martinelli, Sean Coelho, Sean Toe, William Mercier.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands.
Patreon.com/Wizards Podcast, Shining Wizards. It's only $1 to start. You get all kinds of perks. We're going to be doing some watch-alongs very soon. Get in on that.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm done. Kevin, say goodnight, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
And
don't you tell me what to do.
I'll tell you what to do all the time.
Shut up. Shut it. You shut your mouth.
You know we're still recording.
You shut. You-